Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm Shannon Feltus.
I'm Bonnie Dutch.
And this is
You Are That.
We are two sisters who cannot take a compliment.
Nope. Today on the podcast, we have friend, Alaska native and bass player for Portugal the Man, and overall total charmer. We have Zachary Carruthers on the podcast.
Hey.
Hi.
Thank you for taking time out and letting us join you.
It's good to see you gals, as always.
I love it. We just got the grand tour of your home,
and now we're chilling
in a studio. Feeling real legit.
We're in a cabin in the woods. Let's really be realistic.
It's raining here in Oregon. Great. It's beautiful. And I'm so excited. You're my friend.
Yeah.
And I love you dearly.
I love you too, Bonnie.
Known you for years, but like the people will love this. And I'm excited for the people.
I'll do my darndest.
No pressure. The people are going to love this.
They're going to love this.
I'm just so damn likable.
You are. And
really,
the
truly.
Whole point of the podcast is to bring on people you think you know because you see them in the media. You read about them. We've had all walks of life on the podcast, from doctors to scientists to musicians and comedians and actors. And it's fun to just have the whole thing go away. Like,
you
let it dissolve.
You know, but you have no idea.
Everyone's, we're all just people. We're all just doing the fucking best we can. And we all have weird shit. You could be worse off. You're pretty,
you're pretty put
together. And,
well,
on paper, you look great.
For a musician, you're not failing.
That's okay.
You're still like a humble, nice person.
For a bassist.
You could be worse. You could be a drummer. It's fine. Do you want to tell everyone a little bit about you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm from Alaska. I play bass in Portugal the Man. I help run the PTM Foundation. I like to fish. I like to juggle. And lately I've been real lazy. I've been liking hanging around my house. Normally I'm not at home. I'm all over somewhere else. And I got to say, it's been pretty nice to just be here and sit in one spot.
Right? You have the opposite problem of most people in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Everyone's scratching to get out of their house, to go back to work, and you're like,
I could do this forever.
I have earned the right to just be a homesteader.
Oh, yeah. I am fine if I never, ever leave again and I never see anyone again. I'm totally okay with that.
You have to.
Yeah.
But it's nice that you have a place to come home to.
It's pretty good.
And I love that you call Portland home.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've been here. I've been here 20 years, 21 years, something like that. Yeah, so we've relocated to Portland because it's just an amazing place. And yeah, this place is our home now. Miss Alaska a lot, always rep it, but Portland's our base camp for sure.
It's not too far.
Nah,
that's
it's
the best.
Easy.
It could, you know, it could be really far away.
Totally.
But it's kind of also that thing where like Portland is wildernessy enough. It's
nature-y
enough that you can get all the Alaskans to come to you and be like, come take a vacation in Portland.
Yeah, totally. If you want to still live out your outdoorsy life, but still, you know, want a good meal or, you know, you want some culture and some art, you can get it here. It's a good mix of both.
You want to go to an outlet mall and not drive 4 hours through the snow.
Totally, yeah. I don't even know if we have outlet malls in Alaska.
Oh my god.
Or all the malls are outlet malls.
He said in Alaska.
Oh, okay. I was like, right around the corner.
I got an outlet mall.
Those were my outlet malls.
I've lived next to it for a year and a half. Never been in any store.
It's wild. There.
Hit up the Pendleton shop, man. Yeah. Just right after Christmas, though.
Yeah.
And you get all the
good usually hit deals. That up in the airport somewhere more.
Pro tip, my mom gets 25% off for life.
Woo!
So
that's tight.
If you want a little discount,
mom,
on the $700 blankets.
Your mom likes
that will last you forever. My mom fucking loves you.
She does.
So let me tell you a funny little quick aside. She doesn't know who Portugal the Man is. She didn't know anything about you. She just called you the handsome guy with a nice smile. I think his name's Zach.
Aww.
The next day I played you the music and she said, oh, these guys are funky. And I was like, yes, they are funky, mom. And you've probably seen them in passing on like a Taco Bell commercial or like,
oh, yeah.
She goes, oh, so they're like real musicians. And I was like, yes. And she goes, well, he's so nice, though. And I was like, I love that my mom married my dad because she saw him in concert and said, he's cute. I want him. And he was the backup singer and the guitar player at a festival. So she knows the music life enough to be like, most musicians aren't as sweet and nice as Zach.
Aw, shit.
There's show guy. Thanks, mom. And then there's the other guy. Yeah.
So you came to my wedding.
I did. It was lovely.
Oh, my God. That was so fun. And you're talking to me. I'm wearing my bridal attire. And you said to me, I know it's your day, but I got more important people to talk to. And I said, who's more important than the bride? And you ran away and you said, your mom. And ran over to my mom and hung out with my mom. And I was like, that was adorable.
It was pretty cute.
She got lots of fun attention that night. She was having a ball.
Oh, yeah. She was partying. That was great.
She's totally sober.
I know.
Right?
She was still partying,
she was just whooping it up. And yeah. I was like, you look wasted.
She pinched my butt. For a picture.
She pinched your butt.
She pinched my butt.
And she said it in a way that was like, you guys got several pictures. And she said, well, his face is so cute. Let's see what his face looks like when I pinch his butt. So she let you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she then you went me. With it. So I was like, yeah. Consent?
Yeah, it was consensual. Yeah, no. She's cool.
That's so funny.
Consensual pinching.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Mom was getting it. She went home satisfied. She was satiated.
Oh, my God.
I'm proud of it. We like to tell our meet cute stories of how we know our guests. And it's hard to pinpoint,
yeah.
But I think I found it because my memory is so bad. Okay. So someone said to me, some friends from Alaska are here at a party. Do you want to go? And I went to this party and I met you and John and I didn't know half the people there. And it's funny because those people became the community
years,
like the Portland house party, Edward 40 Hands, basement shows.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the people. And everyone dated everyone, and it was an interesting time in our lives. The early 20s of mine became a blur of Anatomy of a Ghost shows in improperly vented rooms.
Yes.
Followed by animal masks as you guys slowly morphed into Portugal the Man, and a keyboard was added, and strobe lights happened, and we got to watch this beast created.
I remember only seeing the masks. You were like a ship in the night that passed before I showed up all the time, but there was masks at Bonnie's apartment at one point, and I was like, what is going on in your life?
There was just that donkey mask that lived in our house for a really long time.
Horse. Yeah, it was a donkey or a horse.
Both. We had a lot of masks.
There was a lot of masks.
We lost most of them in Jackson.
Really sweaty. They were like, duct taped on the back to hold on.
The horse and the rabbit are the two terrifying things that I encountered that I recall. It'll stay in my mind.
And I loved it because I overheard some dude in like a Rise Records fucking hoodie. That was the thing, was there's just a gang of dudes in black Rise Record hoodies everywhere. Fearless Record hoodies. It was just like a battle of like record label hoodie guys. But I heard this guy behind me go, I don't get the masks. I don't know. The sound's a little different. Like, they sound the same, but not a fucking keyboard. They're never going to make it with a keyboard. That's what I heard someone say and be like, I don't know. I don't know if I like this new sound. I think of that moment to where like the transition between Anatomy of a Ghost coming to Portland, and it was it was like Circa Survive time. It was everyone had the high pitched, like when you listen to it, they're like, I love this girl's voice. And then you see him live and you're like, this little boy with flipped out hair has very high vocals and I can't, he's tiny and he's getting it. So it was such a weird time for music of just everyone just doing whatever they want. It was like noise, math, rock, core. Everything was just as violently scripted as possible. And we got to watch you guys turn into this thing that was like Actually, we're going to make you all dance right now, and it's going to be really fun, and you're all going to clap, clap, clap along and sing all the words with us. And I was like, this is fantastic.
And then Bonnie's hands go like this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's always got those, yep.
They call them my Jesus hands.
Yeah.
It's my Christian hands. High school. Where you raise it up, you know? You give it to him.
Youth group really you give it to him. It up.
I don't believe in him anymore, but the hands is like, Lindsay and I have that inside joke of every time we're just getting it, we're like, Jesus hands. You got to let them know. Or
testify.
They're wailing. You just got to be like, give me the riffs. I felt so old at your show. Just saw you recently at Edgefield for the final summer concert there.
Yeah.
And so fun. Hadn't seen you since Nashville, and it was great. But I was doing the hands. And then also at one point, I whipped out a real lighter. And
I
looked around.
That.
And
yeah.
I saw, thank you.
A lot of phones.
I saw all the phones. And this guy next to me goes, haha, you just told me how old you were, and you're
totally.
My age.
Yeah.
And I was like, it hurts. It's burning me.
It's worth it. This is the commitment we did.
I'm retro. And also, I'm one of like 10 smokers here. Like, smoking's out. Lighters are out. Mm-hmm.
You get the boomer burns.
Yeah. Yep. That was my boomer burn. And then, Shannon, your origin story to finally meeting Zach.
Oh, my God.
After all these years.
So long
ago. Yeah.
Like, you guys had to have met in passing at one point.
I'm sure.
Like, fleeting, but, like, where you guys were there, and then we were on our way in or on our way out, like, picking something up, dropping something off. It was when Bonnie lived downtown. But there was, like, always coming and goings.
Is it 307?
Yes! You're so good!
Pretty good memory.
Portland Chainsaw Massacre 307.
Yeah.
That was a brutal apartment. It was art school dormitories.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we misused entirely. I didn't go to school. I skipped all my art school classes. It was awful. So I never went, but we did often have bands stay at our apartment.
Often. It was a band hostel.
Yes.
Like, it
we were band moms.
You did their laundry. You cooked the meals.
I had quarters waiting. I was like, who needs clean jeans?
It was the best ever. And that
clean
I
girl
met,
jeans.
I
clean
met,
girl
there
jeans.
Was all
who
the
needs to dry your pants because they're not tight enough anymore? They went over your foot. Let's get those dry.
Yeah,
let's
yeah,
get
yeah.
those tight.
Totally. That's 100% true because there was a time where I rolled in the living room. I think you were probably there because I think that this was Bonnie McKenna's apartment. There was dudes asleep on any surface that was available.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The masks were there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure this was that same era. But there was a pile of skinny jeans and they were all men's jeans. And Bonnie was wearing lots of color at that time, so I knew they weren't her pants. McKenna's tiny human, so they weren't her pants. But it was like a pile of laundry ready to go, and it was all the skinniest jeans I've ever seen in my life. It was great.
But even in those times of super skinny jeans, Zach wore suit pants a lot. You wore suits
my Wranglers,
for
yeah,
a
yeah.
really like long time. You dressed.
Did.
You were like you kept it sharp for
I'm
a
lazy
long
now, yeah.
time. No, you've grown comfortable. You can fucking pick what you want to wear now because you're a grown
yeah.
ass man.
I'm 40.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit.
You look great for 40.
Thank you, appreciate it.
You look great for being a traveling musician.
Period.
Yeah. That's very true.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna
the
die
road is
any
rough.
Day.
Shut oh your mouth. Oh my god. Well, this is your memorial episode.
No,
so
yeah. no.
We'll wait.
Oh my gosh, that's what our dad said our whole life though. He's like. Rode hard, put away wet. I'm going to die in 5 years. He lasted way longer than he planned on, I think. And so he was like looking back at his life going, yeah, I probably should have taken better care of my body. Like
but
when
also,
I could have.
The guys that say that, I'm going to die anytime now. You're going to say that for a really fucking long time because you're never going to die.
Yeah. I mean, I'm invincible also. But
I'm invincible.
I'm well pickled. I got a lot of, you know,
it's
all the things that go into my body.
You're fermented.
Like, yeah, right? I'm like... I'll last in the jar for a while.
Oh, God. Oh,
I do.
That's
like
awful that we're laughing at it, but I also enjoy it.
It was a pickle joke. I'm here for all pickle
I love
jokes.
Pickle jokes.
Really.
So you met him in passing at some point, but then you guys got to bro down a little bit at the wedding.
Yes.
And finally.
Oh, yeah.
But it felt like I was talking to somebody I've known for 20 years.
Yeah,
so
same.
It just
yeah.
felt like,
yeah.
I was like,
I know
you. It's cousin Zach.
And he's like, he's looking at you. I know you.
Yeah. We also have, we're kind of... same person
yeah it's
time,
pretty
so.
Easy to get along
yeah,
with you
I mean,
if I know her.
Well, that's how I was describing your mom and your brother because it's once you know Zach, when you meet someone that is an exact replica of another person, you guys have the same face three different ways.
Yeah.
It's so weird. But when I first met your mom, I was like in love with her because I was like, you have Zach's face, so I feel like I know you. So I'm going to just
like
hug you all the time.
Too.
I'm going to try to pick you up. I'm going to talk to you about weird stuff. Everyone's doing keg stands and it's crazy and we're in a house party, but I'm going to corner you and be your best friend because I feel like I know you.
I joke that it's because Bonnie and I are old inside and we always always have been, that we just like bond with the parents in the room and then look at the room like, look at these fucking crazy kids. like as though we're also the parents.
We're old at heart. Okay, so we are a few weeks away from Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And we love to touch base on food and family and all the fun and nostalgia that surrounds the holiday season. So we're going to jump in and ask you some fun kitty questions. To follow, we are going to step out of our regularly scheduled zone and talk more about Native people and Indigenous practices and the Portugal the Man Foundation.
Yeah.
The PTM.
PTM Foundation. Yeah. Way easier.
Portugal, period, the Man Foundation. And we're going to have a twofer this week because we are also joined by your friend, April Holder. And I made the joke that I was like, yeah, I will. I'm going to hold her. And then I made you not tell her. So now I'm telling on myself. So I was like, I'm a fucking creepy weirdo. But we have.
Oh, she is too. You guys are going
to
get along.
This
very
is so cool for us to have the availability. Not only are you home, which is like so rare.
It's dope.
But we have the community advisor for the Portugal the Man Foundation, and she has her hand in all kinds of things. She's a talented artist. She works with Indigenous women rights. I did a deep dive, and now I'm like privileged to be sitting in a room with her.
We got overly excited.
I figured you guys would like
it. It warms my heart. So we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff on this fun podcast. It's going to be a great episode. Let the weird brain dives begin. Are you ready to get weird and look into dark parts of your mind that you covered up with alcohol a long time ago?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah. So I have a horrible memory. And as we kick off this jolt down memory lane, I have to know if you remember this particular Thanksgiving that we spent together.
Yep.
Tiny little apartment. You already remember?
I remember.
Northeast Portland. We had Friendsgiving with all of our orphans, as we called you all, aka U-Band boys and some local friends. We cooked full classic turkey feast and we're almost done. Everyone was waiting for frantic manic Bonnie, who gets in a mode where I'm like, no, I have to. It's almost time. Hold on. And I decided I wanted to just broil the top of the sweet potatoes. And the mallows expanded and touched the broil coil and caught a flame. And I, in a panic, forgot the wise words of my grandma and my mother. And I took the Pyrex out and looked, and it's on fire. So I tossed it in the sink where we had been keeping dirty dishes and some standing water. And the Pyrex exploded all over the kitchen, like minutes before we were serving stuff. So we didn't get sweet potatoes. And I remember all you boys... How is it? Is good? Oh, yeah, your gravy's really good. But, man, you know what I could kill for? Some fucking sweet potatoes. Like, the whole time.
We had to lay it on pretty thick.
Just harp it on me. And it was such a cute, tiny apartment. And I don't know how we fit, like, 12 people in there, that weird table we made.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. What is your most memorable food-related holiday memory?
Mine is, it's a little more broad. It's not like a specific moment, but it's about my grandmother, who is an amazing lady and a really good cook in a really weird way. She was like, you know, grew up during the Depression.
Oh,
and stuff. So like,
she takes boxes of weird shit and you're like, how did you turn potatoes into a
pie? Yeah. It was always, we have no idea how she did that magic. And she passed away when I was about 17, but she made a couple dishes, and there was this thing called cherry squares that were just these super sweet, amazing things. And during Thanksgiving and Christmas, they were like me and my cousins, all our favorite things were the cherry squares. They were just unbelievably delicious. And I have very, very talented chefs in my family. Like, my mom's a fantastic cook. Everyone has tried to recreate the cherry squares.
No,
every year we try
it.
No one can do it. It's like, not even, I don't know what
happened.
You all
sit around and you go, the flavor's almost there, but the texture's like,
Yeah, we can't figure it out. And I'm wondering if she just had some old can of some kind of weird Crisco alternative that was like illegal.
She used like a generic discontinued.
Yeah.
She used lard and just never told you, and it's just straight.
Maybe. Yeah. But we don't know how she did it. And so that's like my main, when I think about Thanksgiving, that's the cherry squares are the first thing that I think of. And my aunt's green bean casserole. I love that shit.
I love green bean casserole. Everybody loves it.
It gets a bad rap.
Or people put weird shit in it.
Yeah. And you can't go fancy. Like, you don't use, don't go to the farmer's market and buy fresh green beans. No.
It has
cans,
to
be. It's got
to
be the French.
French's onions. Yeah.
Gross cans. And when you pour it out, it has that, like, smell.
Mm-hmm. It's aluminum.
And it's got to be, like, cream soup.
Exactly.
So we mixed it up barely and put, like, chopped water chestnuts in sometimes.
I put bacon in mine sometimes.
Bacon's dank, though.
Obviously. That's pretty
fun, yeah. But I've tried it like a bunch of weird different ways. And I'm like, you just can't. And in my house, I think I'm the only person that eats it, but I'll still make like a little batch because I will eat that soupy shit for like 3 days as breakfast and just be like, yes, green bean casserole.
Brunch pile.
I know. I'm like, sandwich. I'm so hungry. I feel like when he was telling you about the cherry squares, I could see your gears turning.
I have questions.
Her brain goes, challenge accepted. Because now,
hold my beer.
She's, she's going to make you 900 versions of cherry squares now and make you sit and taste them all and be like, tell me what's bad or good about these. And then compile them.
I was taught by the grandma way of cooking. Yeah. So I'm like, I think I can picture what corners she cut to make it good.
Yeah. I described something for her that I ate at a restaurant in Nashville, and they did polenta tots. And I was like, they're so good, and there was this bacon aioli, and like then they discontinued them off the menu, and I threw such a little hissy fit. The only reason I come here is for the motherfucking tots.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, the guy who made them like left, so I sent Shannon their menu and just the way they were described, and when I came home, she had gotten these little cylinder cutters and made like tot shapes. They were just square at the restaurant, but she made them tot shaped.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the bacon aioli.
I put my recipe on my blog. They're so fucking good.
It was so good. And she let me like taste the memory and then find it in my brain. And then she like tweaked it. And I was like, this is it. She's so good at it.
That was the ticket. Yeah.
All right.
It's fucking good. Canned cherries or fresh cherries? Definitely canned cherries.
Oh, yeah, canned. Yeah.
Okay.
The cheapest ingredients ever. And I'll send you the recipe. But it's just like, it's not right. I'm very excited.
I'm really excited for this.
I love that you're both.
My entire family will help. Like, we'll.
I'll fucking mail them to your family.
Yeah.
I'll overnight that shit to
them. Oh, my God. This is how you become best friends with Judy, like, straight out the gate.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I gotta know. You guys trade flower seeds. Man. I gotta know. I will send her seeds. That's
my favorite. This is actually a podcast about Judy. Hi, Judy.
This is just a love letter to
Miss
your
you.
Mom. No big deal.
All right. What is your question?
I thought it was a podcast about dicks. I'm like, totally. Oh, yeah.
We can't. No, you're not allowed to say hi, Mom, and then the next thing that comes out of your mouth is about dicks.
I gotta fuck with things a little bit.
Earmuffs, Judy. We're talking about dicks now.
She loves you.
So, I'm a super nerd about crazy shit, and the Alaska thing is fascinating to me. So I went down the rabbit hole, like I was saying, about all the facts. The long days in Alaska, there is world record-breaking vegetable sizes, 76-pound rutabaga. The cabbages were way bigger. It's crazy. As a kid, for the long Alaska nights, what did you do for fun? I just picture our streetlights on coming home thing doesn't apply there. And then we would have been reckless, wild, feral children running around.
Yes, if we had extended night hours.
Right. What the fuck did you guys do?
Well, it's generally freezing in the middle of winter, so it's like there's a lot of... You know, seasonal depression up there, and a lot of people get bummed out. Not me. I like metal.
I can't picture you depressed.
No, it doesn't happen often.
They're so cheery.
But honestly, I don't really remember. I mean, that's why I started playing music, I guess.
Indoor activities.
You're just trapped inside.
Yeah, because like if you work a 9-to-5, you're in high school or something, you know, the sun comes up at about 10:30 a.m. and it goes down about 2:30, 3:30.
Jesus, that's like four hours of vitamin D you gotta.
Yeah, and if you're at work or in school, you straight up don't see the sun. On the weekend. And so it's kind of fucked up. But I like the dark. I like the cold. I embrace it, you know?
I just
doing the Bane
was
thing.
Picturing, like,
you merely
mischief.
Adopted the darkness.
Was there, like, I picture in, like, junior high, high school, we had, like, that token friend that had the cool basement, you know? That was, like, where everyone hung out, where their parents were never home. Everything's in darkness, and we're just...
For sure, yeah.
Kicking it in basements. Are there basements in Alaska?
Yeah, we do. Not a lot. But we got a lot of shops and cabins and stuff like that. And my house was the hang house because, you know, my mom's great. And so...
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Like, and my house was pretty close to town. And everybody, all my other friends live like 45
really far
minutes
away.
Yeah. And so it's a very spread out place. And so my house was kind of central. So every day after school, people come over and just hang out at my house. But yeah, it was fun. Did a lot. There's a lot of drinking and drugs going on in a small town that's dark all the time.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I did that much because I didn't like video games. I didn't watch TV. I watched MTV. That was my thing. I was watching music videos. Yeah.
That's all I would have done too.
But yeah, I think I just played guitar in my room and big time Beavis and Butthead for sure.
Did you have like little lady girlfriends back then?
I did.
Little lady girlfriends.
Yeah.
I just pictured very, like, proper, sweet little prairie girls. And you said that way.
No.
Little lady girls?
No. Not they're
the ones
Alaskan.
I
feel like every,
girls,
like, all the Alaskan dudes I've met are charming, but then also slightly unpredictable. And then all the Alaskan women I've met are, like, off the wall.
Yep.
That's like, true. Non-apologetically, like, this is who I am, fucking I don't care. And I love them.
It's pretty
but
fun.
They're batshit.
Okay. Yeah, total batshit.
So for comparison, I have a friend named Amanda that I met in college. She reminds me, in hindsight, straight from Alaska to our apartment complex. Yeah. I met her fresh from...
off the boat.
She was like Kesha before Kesha was Kesha.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, but like behavior-wise, she might take her pants off at a party and climb a tree. I don't know where the fuck she was half the time.
Yeah, where's the Alaskans?
Right.
Yeah.
She was like literally the Alaskan. Yeah. It was pretty great. She was a good time, though. She was fun.
Good time.
I'm kind of crazy, too. So like, we were a lot.
We're subdued.
I kept my pants on. But
sometimes.
Like,
you know. But then we can be the crazy friends when, like, other people are being crazy. We're like, oh, we're allowed to be crazy right now?
I was probably like, it's look okay. at this bitch with her pants off. Woo, pants off party. So I was probably
pants off, dance off.
That's great.
Get it.
Ah, I love that.
I'm just picturing junior high Zach playing the guitar for some pale-ass girl dressed in sweaters. Just being like, hey, girl, you want to come in my room?
No, I never played guitar for
ladies. You just, that was for you.
Yeah, it
was for you. I never like showing your friends.
Yeah, like I'm a professional musician, and I
you never used
before
it.
That. I was just like, yeah. Anytime I go do a thing, they're like, hey, we're gonna have a fire. Like, hey, Zach, bring an acoustic guitar or something. I'm like, no, I don't know.
You're
any
not
cover
the guy
songs,
sitting
like,
around the fire.
I respect yeah, you playing even more now. To be shit. Honest with you,
oh hell no, never did that. I yeah, those don't guys? Like that. Yeah, not my thing. Don't play music.
Some of
to get
my
chicks,
best
dude.
Memories are sitting around a fire with random band guys, just having them play me guitar and like listening to a bunch of dudes in the dark, just like harmonizing. And I was like,
what is
this?
Your
is fantastic. I know. Yeah. Sunset at the Gorgeous. Just like,
fire I was with, I was like, God, get that guy to stop fucking playing the guitar. I'm too drunk for this. This guy's bad.
Let's go back to talking about Judy.
Yes,
yeah.
I have a song.
Mama Bear.
So it is no secret that Judy is a magic. Gem of
absolutely,
a human.
Yes.
Is there something special you remember your mom doing around the holidays that you miss now as an adult? Like something you're looking forward to?
Oh man, just a thousand little things. Like she really cared. They would, you know, my parents would stay up all night before Christmas or anything like that. Yeah, this isn't a Thanksgiving thing, but a Christmas one. Like
just any holiday.
I remember
feel.
I was a little kid and I had a hamster named Cottonball.
Oh
and all I wanted, and I brought this up last minute, I wanted to like talk to Santa and, you know, all that shit. And I was like, I want Cottonball to have his own Christmas tree. And so
my mom went out so cute.
After I went to bed.
Chopped a tiny little branch.
Made a tiny little Christmas tree and like somehow found like little tiny presents and tiny ornaments.
Oh
my mom
gosh.
Did a lot of like miniature dough art, so she had a lot of like tiny
yeah.
things around
she
the house.
She just whipped them up, no problem.
Yeah, and like I got up the next morning and went straight to that, and that's my favorite little thing, and like it was goddamn adorable. My hamster loved it. And and yeah, but just like little things like that. She just cared. She every morning my sack lunch had like a cartoon on it or something
oh.
like that. She's a really good artist too, actually. And she would just draw something funny. She, I don't know. She just like took the time. She gave me a lot of space to do whatever I wanted to. She let us be loud in the basement. Mm-hmm. That's like our downstairs was like the band room.
Yeah. She's a good boy mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She just put up with fucking Slayer and Pantera and Rage Against the Machine all day.
Yeah.
Every day. And she put up with a lot of shit. But yeah, yeah. So she's like, yeah, she's the best.
That's like my favorite thing. Shannon's eyes are all teared up.
I love a good boy, Mom.
She won't take down my posters and shit still. I have old set lists from a shitty high school band up on the wall. I'm like, Mom, I need to get rid of that stuff. She's like, no, I can't. And
it's like I feel proud to have watched you grow into the person you are now. And I've only known you like, what, like 18 years?
Something.
So I'm just like, just a small portion of your life. I can't even imagine being the mother of Zach and Nick, and you guys are both like such fabulous human men and an example for men everywhere. And to grow up in that house with her being so supportive, she actively listened to you and then like made your tiny little wishful dreams come true.
Oh, for sure. And she did that like in a thousand different ways all the time. Oh. And she's still like, it's to a fault now. Now, whenever we put out a new album, like, I send her a shit ton of CDs and vinyls.
Because she's going to tell the town. She's going to
pass
them out. The postman gets
but
one.
But she cannot help it for just to talk to like the poor girls that like that check out at Best Buy or something. We put out
she's wearing
album.
Your shirt. She's like, my son.
She literally will just go buy an album just so that she can tell the lady that she's my mom. And like,
that
it's
is
ridiculous.
So fucking cute,
she buys
cute,
so much
though.
Shit.
No, that
and
is
you're like,
the
stop spending your money,
thing.
Mom. I'll send you everything.
I do. And she was like, no, well, I got to, if I see it, then I got to tell this checkout girl.
Of
like,
course.
And
yeah. You know
yeah,
what?
It's ridiculous.
From the perspective of she's that your checkout team. Girl, later she's going to be like, you're never going to believe who fucking came through here and talked to me today. Like, that is...
I don't know. It depends.
Not
on...
Wasilla, Alaska,
yeah, I was gonna
because
say.
Everybody's like, oh,
it
yeah, it's happened to me
small.
Four times.
They're like, here comes
but at the
Judy.
First, yep, yep. Oh, I know that lady.
Well, at least
yeah.
she's cool.
The guys were on MTV yeah. last night.
Yep.
Let's see. Let's, yep. Judy's going to tell us about yep, it. She's going to record it.
Yeah.
She's going to invite everyone
she's
to start, watch it later.
She's taking it back now that we've gotten like pretty big, and now she doesn't want to brag or anything. But like the early years, oh, it's fucked up. Now
she totally gets to brag.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But now she kind of yeah. she tones it down a little
oh,
bit.
God.
But it was funny. She was recently at a little festival that we have in Alaska called Salmon Fest, which is really fun.
Yeah,
and
that sounds rad.
And she was wearing one of our shirts, like the like Portugal before they sold out.
I love that shirt.
I saw and, your mom in that shirt. And
right.
I fucking died.
Oh, she's got like she's always wearing her shit. But she was wearing that at the show. And some fans started like backing us up and like, they're like, hey, they didn't sell out. They did this shit. And my mom's just like, she's really proud because she was like, yeah, your fans are like coming to your defense. And,
yes.
But she was just like, no, they made this shirt. They're funny. And I'm, you know, the bassist mom and stuff like that. It's like,
and
I
then
know.
They stopped and they saw her face and they were like, they morphed in their brain and they're
yeah,
like, oh
yeah.
my God, how did I not realize
yeah.
I was
then,
talking to the maker?
And then,
effect.
Of course, she like made them food and they hung out all weekend.
Shut
and stuff
up,
like
of course.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Of course, she became
friends,
best so friends.
They'll probably be at Christmas when I go home.
I did that though. I saw a kid at a show and mm-hmm. I sent you a picture
yeah,
and was
yeah.
like, look at this fucking shirt. And you're like, Bonnie, we make those. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
Hilarious.
Real talk, I haven't bought Portugal the Man merch ever.
Well, no, because it was just hanging around your house.
It was just in my it. House and yeah. I just had all the like the one-off prints.
Yeah.
Ram was printed weird on the side and it's I was missing. Bonnie wore it for like 4 years and then turned it to a pillow somewhere.
And then totally. Made a pillow for my son out of it or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Aiden
oh,
has Portugal the Man pillows.
Oh, that's awesome. Send me some pictures of that.
I like it.
That's super funny. And yeah, she's hilarious like that.
Dude, if Aiden was in a band, I'd be neurotic. Like, I would be Judy. I yeah. would do the same thing. I'd be,
yes.
like, at Bi-Mart getting fucking chicken food and be like, hi, guess what? Do you know who my son is? I'd yeah. be so bizarre. It'd be
oh,
so fun.
You know what I wish that they still did? And tell me if it exists and I'm just, like, waxing nostalgia for something. Remember when you would go in Spencer's and flip through all the band posters? And it'd be,
oh, yeah.
like, Blacklight Velvet ones into
Hell
the
yeah.
band. And then it'd be, like,
rad.
You know, like a Green Day poster. You'd, like, flip through
you
and get all of
posters.
Them. Bring back posters. But I want to yes. see, like the full
yeah.
current Portugal the Man with everyone just, like, done up in, like, the most ridiculous way. Oh, yeah. Just,
okay.
like...
I love
with
that,
like
yeah.
your fake fucking signatures already on it,
yeah.
you know, just like bam, bop on the wall. Like
because
I
posters
want that.
Now they're all thick and screen printed.
I know, limited edition.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck that. Numbered. Let's just bring back like yeah, I love the
$7 poster that you're going through and yeah. you're going hate this band, hate that. Oh, they have a new Portugal.
It's the
band
ones
poster.
When you're at a show
yeah.
and you walk by their merch table and it's the poster of them that they
mm-hmm.
sign. Like
yeah.
Aiden has. The Aquabats are his.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
His,
yeah. Those are his
he got their autograph on their poster. I want a Portugal poster for his
like
bedroom.
A little,
I'll get you a poster,
oh, my
yeah.
God. Aiden would be like, these are mine. These are my people.
Like, I'll work on like the oh glossy, the 90, the 80s
the
and 90s posters.
Cheesy.
I got
they were
lots
so
of the
fucking
nice ones.
Huge. I wish I could go back
team
in
beat.
Time and strip my
oh,
wall
yeah.
before I went to college because
oh,
when I
yeah.
moved, I had been street team for a bunch of people and then also just collected posters like and pins. Remember
oh,
Lindsay
yeah.
and I had
you're
those
covered,
fucking.
Yeah.
I loved pins. They were so they were so
your
rusty.
Flare. Your band.
I
flare.
Have tons of those still.
Oh my God.
I could feel them still. I could feel it still.
Oh, Jesus
if I reached
Christ.
My hand in the.
I knew that was coming.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wait for it.
Perfect.
I hate myself right now. But I had all the pins
check,
and then
please.
I had so many posters. And when I left, my brother took over my room, was like, I'm in high school. She fucking left.
Oh, totally.
And
yeah.
I had a queen size bed. He had a twin. So he just like took over my room in the yeah. back of the house with like my stereo and everything. But I used to get so high and stare at all my posters
oh my
and just they were sealing the
same,
whole thing.
Yeah.
Collage.
I was covered. Yep.
And I was like, if I can go back in time, some of those posters, man.
No,
I have
hurts.
A band related question. So this is a segue I'm stealing.
Gotcha.
So you've toured everywhere. When you're a younger band man and you're like musically thinking about where you would go, was there a place you've always wanted to visit and have you gotten to go there yet?
Yeah, I always wanted to go to Africa.
Cool.
We went. It was awesome. Didn't get to spend as much time as we wanted to there, but it was the best trip I've ever taken. I always wanted to go to Japan. We have. It's rad. And Russia. for some reason. Ooh. And we just went a couple years ago.
What?
We had a hit in Russia. We had like a number one album in Russia. So
what?
Weird. Yeah, it's weird. Yes, we had a lot of fun. Yeah, I was honestly, I just wanted to go everywhere. I just wanted to meet people and beat the streets, eat the food, drink the drinks, mm-hmm. walk up
yeah.
some mountains.
Just get the
fish.
Culture, see
yeah,
what's
totally,
up,
yeah.
soak it in.
We have a thing. If you're only in a town for a night.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard because we're interested in things, but so we have a system. If you're only in town for a night and you play the show, you only have a couple hours, I go to the nicest restaurant and the shittiest bar. And just
yes!
from there, you can kind of...
see what the world is like there.
Yeah, yeah. You see the people, you see, you talk to some plan. People, and yeah, that's like, if you only have a couple hours in the city, go
yeah.
to a really nice restaurant and go to a really, really shitty bar. And it's like, okay, I kind of get a little bit of an idea for
in
it.
The minute
best
you
of
said
all of
it, I could think of the ones for Portland, too.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
That's the funniest thing. I'm like, oh, yeah that's
sure.
pretty good.
Where would I take people? And then you get, like, a happy mix of the architecture. That's what I would get hung up on. I'd be like, leave
yeah.
me here.
Totally, yeah.
I'm in Russia. I need to look at all this fucking
yeah, honestly,
tile work and
just
mixed
rolling
metals.
Around,
and...
yeah, just walk all night.
Just go get lost
stuff.
And
yeah.
then make sure you know your way back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started learning, like, 4 different languages at different times in my life because I was like, I'm definitely going here and I'm definitely going to live in Prague for a year. I'm definitely going to... And I look up all the things where, like, the rules. Like, you don't
yeah.
look grandmas in their eyes because they will
ah.
fuck you up. They, like,
ah.
have a thing. They're going to hit you with it because they know you're an American tourist and they're like, don't fucking look at the grandmas in there.
Yeah.
Avert your eyes and do all the things. I, like, looked up all the things and I was like, real mm-hmm. talk, I'm not gonna remember any of this.
Totally.
Somebody's gonna talk to me and I'll be like, that's so fast, I can't, I don't know,
it's accurate.
Back to American, and I'm just gonna walk around being like, building
totally.
Thing.
Dude, I took
food.
4 years of French and then went to France and they were like
they just talked to you.
I went to, I'll never forget, they hate you, it's yeah. fucking stupid. I look just like this and they're like, meh, hate you. I went to a kiosk with my little book. Got really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Went to go buy my first pack of cigarettes in France. French cigarettes are the shit. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. But I, like, went to the thing and I was like, I brought my book out and the guy goes, and close the fucking grate on me. Close
oh.
it in my face. Like, fucking tourist. And I'm like, all right. Well, that's cool.
That's my
favorite
part about it.
I'm gonna go eat
yeah.
a whole baguette and cry about it.
Yeah.
I did that. It was my... Learned
that's my
real
life
fast.
Now. I didn't even have to go to France. I could eat a whole baguette and cry in my room.
Yeah, but if you do it in France, it's so good.
Your culture,
totally, yeah.
the best baguette you're ever going to cry about. So good.
Oh, I want to go to Africa. What's your favorite thing about Africa?
We went to like a game reserve. It was rad. It was a huge, huge area, and we stayed in these little huts, and our band kind of rented out the whole place. There's only so many rooms. They keep it real small on purpose. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of ones that are fucked up. They're really drug animals. And stuff
ooh.
Like that. It's
is it like a hunting place?
No.
Or like a reserve?
This is a reserve. So
oh,
what
good.
All these people do is they take people out and drive around to look at animals, but they're all
ugh.
Armed. What they are there for is to stop poachers.
Oh.
So at this one, so this is a really cool
so
one.
You guys could be like out in the wild looking at animals and then be on like a hunting excursion where now you guys are like chasing the bad guys.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It would have been pretty cool.
That's
that
the dream.
Happen. Luckily,
okay.
I mean... Thankfully, we didn't
thankfully
see
no poachers,
yeah.
but also,
yeah.
dang.
But it was so fun. We'd get up at 4 a.m. We'd watch the sunrise in Africa.
Did you see any of the rains down in Africa?
Oh.
Did everyone sing that song 1 million times till you were
all
like...
All the time, yeah, yeah. And it was before it made its big comeback
I
and stuff.
Even
but
do it with a straight face.
No, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Thank you very much.
We went out there and it was just fucking awesome. And our rooms were beautiful. There was a bunch of giant weird spiders all the time.
Ooh.
And we didn't have water the whole time because there was this elephant that was super funny and scary. But it would smash the water pump like every
what?
Morning. And so all day, like these guys would fix the water pump. And then at night, like super early in the morning, an elephant just thought it was funny to come and smash the water pump again.
Every day.
Every day. And so,
so these guys
never
had
worked.
One
the,
job and it was repairing
yeah,
the water
yeah,
pump.
Yeah, pretty much. And then a different elephant, like, he didn't quite charge us, but he came at us, bro. And it was pretty scary. Jason was fucking freaked out. He crawled over, like, all of us to get away. I got video of it somewhere.
Oh
but it was
God.
Scary. Our driver was doing, like, an Austin Powers, like, 12-point turn.
Oh, no.
And meanwhile, this fucking elephant's coming, and, like, he just flip our shit, like, so easily.
Every time it turns, Jason's eyes, like, aren't moving.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
just,
yeah.
like, locked on
he
it.
He was... freaking out. Yeah, climbed over all of us because he was sitting in the back of the Jeep. I was shotgun.
No.
Up into my seat. And, man, it was super funny. But, yeah, it was a little sketchy.
I probably would have done that, too.
Kyle was just oblivious. We're sitting there, like, watching lions. And it's nighttime, and we found these, there was these three brothers, male lions, that always hunted together. And we saw two of them.
And the third one was missing.
And the third one was missing.
And he had
dumb.
Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle, he's super stoned. And our driver's just telling us this. And we're like watching. we just have our headlights on these lions chilling. And it's just like thick ass jungle everywhere else. And this guy's telling us, like, yeah, there's a third one around here somewhere. They're always together. And Kyle's just like, I'm going to hop out and take a pee. And we're just like, we're like, are you fucking kidding me?
They hang out in the fucking trees and there's a lion missing.
Yeah. And we're just like, are you fucking out of your mind, Kyle? I just got to pee. And
guess what your piss has? Pheromones, bro.
Yeah, dude. We're just like, are you fucking kidding me? There's a lion that just killed the fucking zebra. And like, it was crazy. It was really cool. And we were tracking all these animals. It was weird, too, to smell death.
Oh, like, yeah.
It was crazy. We dropped down into a valley. And the guy was like, he's like, you smell that? He's like, there's a killer around here, so that means there's cats. Ooh. And you just smell it. It's just fucking death. And so we just kind of follow our noses through trails and stuff in a Jeep until we found it. It was like super
let's go to
amazing.
The death. Let's it go was find so cool. it.
Wow. It was rad.
That's
and
such
it was
an
really
adventure.
Fun. And then just shining lights in the big
the
flashlights.
Night and
you
see
eyes. Eyes fucking everywhere. And the green eyes are okay.
Yeah.
Kind of, but like you still get trampled and stuff. Because there was like the water buffalo like everywhere. You would go outside and just be like, there's a fucking giant thing with horns like right in front of you. Like, oh, fuck. They were cool, but... but yeah, every
what's the other color eyes?
Yellow.
Oh, okay.
So yellow or
green
cats.
Eyes are okay. I'm like, red eyes.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, red and yellow.
Red
and those,
yellow.
Those are cats. And,
and
so,
vampires.
But yeah, you're just like shining lights in the woods and just eyes fucking everywhere. It's
that's
amazing.
And they're just slow blinking at you. Like, yeah. Make a mistake.
It's pretty
we're funny. Here for fun.
So that was super good time.
Oh,
really like
that's fucking terrifying.
I like that.
I go out at night to put chickens to bed and I shine the lights around the trees. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll be like six or seven pairs of raccoon eyes.
Totally,
now I'm
yeah.
like, no, I wonder what color those are. There was a coyote in our neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what color eyes they have either, but I
yeah.
scared the shit
they're
out of them.
They're green too, but like, yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of coyotes over my spot. It's got to watch out for baby
yeah.
dog.
It's a snack. It's mm-hmm. a cute little snack.
Oh, yeah.
We have a guest dog
soft
today again.
Snack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cute. You're so soft.
This is Willa. She's a little scruffy pup. She's my friend.
So soft.
Quietest
like scruffy,
dog ever
but
too.
Like so soft.
Oh, yeah. So soft.
Yeah. I just keep like absentmindedly petting the puppers.
This is
she
the
doesn't mind.
And then I look down too. And she's like, yo, my belly's right here. I'm splayed out for you now. I changed positions. I like it.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh. Do you want to play a game with us?
Sure.
We're going to do this or that.
Okay.
And we're just going to give you two options, back and forth, rapid fire, and
gotcha.
Then you choose your choice.
Gotcha.
You started off.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs, but I do like cats a lot, too.
Australia or Europe?
Australia. People are beautiful and everything can kill you.
That's so hot.
I feel like this is the theme. This is the theme of, like, let's go to danger zones.
Have you ever been to Australia?
Like, no. I don't want to fly there. I'm,
the
like,
most
afraid
normal
of it.
People are just, they all look like fucking Thor and supermodels and shit. It's crazy.
Well,
like,
we can't go. Joe
we
and
can't
I both,
go now. Yeah.
Both of our phone people, I have the male Australian Siri,
yep.
and he has the female. We would literally, like, if we went there on our honeymoon, we would just come back swingers. We'd be like,
oh,
fuck, we just
absolutely.
Fucked all of Australia.
And they're all cool and fight and
yeah.
can drink and, like, they're rad. But, yeah, everybody's beautiful. Have you met McClay, our photographer?
Huh.
Oh, he's a beautiful man, but it's funny. In Australia, he's, like, a two. And he came over here and started touring with us and just, like, women are just, like, fucking falling all over.
Yes.
And he's like, what the fuck? And we're like, well, yeah, dude, you're a fucking total hunk. And he's like, I was like a nerd, never got girls in Australia. I was like, that's crazy.
Came to the States.
Everybody's so hot there. It's
well,
fucked up.
Do you remember, this is like, we're not doing fast pace anymore for this. So that, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Closure Moscow, where
yeah.
they're friends of Crummett, Chris Crummett,
yeah.
and they came and recorded with him. All Australian. Came
yeah.
and lived here for a while. And we hung out with them like every day. So I got like that, like almost immune. But God, they were saucy. And I,
yeah.
at one point, was just like, I just want to, like, I would sit and watch them play video games and, like, yell at the zombies. But,
yeah, and they just, everything they say is
yes.
just funnier. Like,
charming.
Just having a translation. So, like, hey, you want to chug a beer? And he's just like, sure, mate, let's skull some fucking tins. And I'm just like, I love you, man. It's great.
We were making stuff up and saying, this is what Americans talk like. Like,
oh,
you,
yeah.
when you come to Portland, you have to be into Trailblazers, and everything is mad balla. Mad balla. So we had them.
The
yeah, we were like, everything, like, man, that's mad baller. And no one says that. So
no.
we were just
no.
like bugging with them and saying it, and they were saying it for everything. And then I was like, is it true? Like, Australians love American accents? And they go, the women love American men accents. Yes. And we're looking, we're women in America looking at these male Australians. And basically they were telling us without telling us, like,
no.
we're not into you. It's reversey. Sorry. You're
yeah.
fucked. You fucked.
One of my very good friends that was Australian was a man. Very, very smart. he was probably in his mind like a two in Australia too. Because he came over here and all the women are like, oh my God. And he had no interest in them whatsoever. Yeah, I came here for my education. He's like, I'm not here for the ladies. And we kind of joked. And then later he's like, not to be rude, but American accents sound very unintelligent to us. And I was like, oh, that sucks. We could be
they're not
hot,
wrong.
But we sound so fucking stupid.
Yes.
But then he's also brilliant. And that nerdy quality is not attractive to Australian women there. Like, he's a two there. So then he comes here and he's brilliant and hot. And I'm like, well, then just fuck you. You just be my friend then. Yeah. I didn't want to have sex with you anyway. Yeah.
Fucking Australians.
I know.
They're an enigma, and it's not fair. And it's not fair.
I spent our whole friendship proving I was smart.
All right, I'll go quick. Sorry.
Okay. No, it's fine.
No, it's funny.
Singing or dancing?
Singing. Used to be a dancer. Not anymore.
Yeah. Night out or a good night's sleep?
Good night's sleep. I'm 40. I've done everything. Nothing.
Sleeping is so dope.
Yeah, nothing
impressive. That's all I want.
I'm 40,
life.
Talking to like some young girl that's like trying to hit on me or something. And she's like, oh, what's your fantasy in bed? And I'm just like, getting fucking 8 hours of sleep. Don't talk to me, lady.
Do you want to scratchies my back and wake me up in the morning with breakfast? That'd
totally,
be dope.
Yeah.
And then just be gone.
Yeah, totally.
No, I don't have to look at your parts. I don't have to like,
yeah,
you don't
good.
Have to
I've,
do
I've
it.
Seen that shit before. I'm old. I don't care anymore.
I'm tired all over.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm done.
Fuck, I love being older. This is fun. It's like no pressure. You can just be fucking tired.
Pizza or tacos?
It's your favorite question.
I had to bring it back.
I'm going to go pizza. Nice. It's classic metal guy 80s shit, but yeah, goddamn, I love tacos, dude. That's a tough one, yeah.
I know. It's the impossible choice.
Mm-hmm. My mouth watered again. Mm-hmm. Riverbank fishing or fishing from a boat?
Riverbank.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you get seasick?
No. Okay. Well, sometimes, like, on the ocean. I don't fish much in the ocean, but going on a lot of boats, like, around here. I like standing in the water, you know.
You like to feel the muck under your boots?
Are you a hip waders guy?
Oh, no, full waders.
Full waders.
Nice. I got some nice waders.
I almost drowned because of waders one time.
Yeah, I have too, for sure.
They
yeah.
filled up. Nobody saved me.
No, man, you go down real quick. They get heavy as fuck.
They're very heavy.
Yeah.
I was fly fishing, and the guys were like, she was catching all the fish. They didn't save me. Really mad.
You just take your fish and go, and you're like down
I cleaned
creek.
Them all too, and I cooked them, and I was like, you guys are my bitches this weekend.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
I now have a new biggest later. Fear is just fucking drowning under hip waders.
Just don't go in as far. Don't get so ambitious.
Yeah.
And don't fall.
Get out of them.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah.
Pop and run.
Yeah.
Totally. I've never waded.
Yeah.
I've also never scuba suited, and I've never worn overalls in public.
I've never heard the term scuba suited.
Yeah, it's a real thing, and I didn't just make it up.
Yeah, no,
I didn't,
definitely.
I
not.
Also didn't hear myself say it until you said it back to me. So
I love those.
Fuck. I'm not even stoned. I'm just hungry and tired.
No, it's the phrase. I'm not on drugs. I'm just like this.
This is just who I am.
Yeah.
Ooh, my cheeks are. This is really fun though. All right. Are you ready for my favorite part of the whole podcast?
Sure.
It's compliment city time.
Ooh.
Where you get to sit there and let us genuinely compliment you.
That sounds uncomfortable.
It is.
But also, you know, I'm a sucker for it, so
yeah. Stop. Don't stop.
I'm susceptible to flattery.
It's fun in person.
It's fuel.
Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get to look into your beautiful blue eyes.
Up.
Don't say that. That's my compliment.
See your smile lines crinkling.
God,
your pretty eyes.
Damn it.
Oh, your dimples are popping. Stop smiling. Oh, the rosiness in your cheeks. You're so handsome.
I'm blushing.
You're so
handsome. Oh, shucks.
It's one of my favorites.
He's leaving. It's weird. He just left.
I know.
We have that effect on guests.
You feel free to kick us off.
I was going to be. It took all the hot compliments away.
Okay. I'll edit it out. You start fresh.
No, don't edit it out. Leave it. It's fine. Okay. You're more than just charming and good looking, so I can come up with more shit than that. It's fine.
Lean in close and look into his eyes.
Well, I can't because I'm my... I'll lean into my
mind. That's perfect.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Right. Well, thank you very much. You're a kick-ass musician, obviously. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
It's awesome. You are a smile people see across the room and already feel very comfortable in that room, even if that room is a fucking ballroom we were at a wedding. So, like, your smile I could pick out of a crowd, and I was like, oh, he's having the best time ever.
Thank
he just
you.
Looks so nice and charming. Like, from all the way across the room, everybody wanted to talk to you because you have a very welcoming smile.
Thank you. I was probably drunk.
No, it was before
you
that.
You were.
I think.
No, you should read his guestbook entry.
Oh, I can't wait. That's actually pretty great. I
don't remember what it was.
Thank you for getting me drunk on your special day.
That is awesome.
I love it.
Oh, and you give really good hugs, too. I like a good hugger.
I like huggers.
You can tell a lot about a person by their hugs. So I like that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. This is super uncomfortable, but very, but also very nice. It's a weird one, too. Yeah. Not sure. Yeah.
You just wait.
Keep going. Tell me more nice things.
Okay.
Your turn, Bon.
I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about it.
No, oh, just
you have been one of the warmest, most genuine friendships that I've gotten to have from my 20s. Being able to meet you, I think we were just like fresh out of high school. I had about 2 years bopping around and then met these crazy dudes from Alaska that infiltrated my life. And no matter how many years go between us actually physically hanging out, I feel like we just pick right back up.
Oh, totally.
We've always been really comfortable around each other. And I was having this conversation the other day with Lindsay that Zach is so hot and charming and sweet and funny. And like, you're the beautiful, you're a beautiful soul. However, I've never had like a crush on you. Like,
I'm offended.
No, no. This is where things get weird. Because it's like I met you and like our friendship became such a steadfast, deep friendship where we really like, we went through weird times where things weren't always looking up for us. We were in the trenches together. We made a game of it. Like, we did the best we could.
Totally.
We smoked a bunch of weed. We drank a bunch of cheap beer. We fucked around. And by fucked around, I mean like played guitar like a totem pole and brought in a keyboard into a tiny apartment where we shouldn't have been playing music and just had the best time. Like, you let me put makeup on you. It was just, we were instantly like brother and sister friendship, and never in my timeline did I look at you like with romantic eyes. And that was the time of my life I was in. I was in my 20s going, which guy in this band do I want to make out with? Like, every time I watched the show, I was like, who can I make out with? Who can I make out with? I was, you know, a little kissing whore for a minute.
So I make out with a few people,
I kissed the majority of the original Portugal the Man lineup. And I stole Harvey's second kiss ever, and he was so mad at me about it for like 2 years.
Stole it?
I did the
You're
Boston.
Faced rapist?
I did like, give me a little kiss on the cheek, and then I snapped it, and I stole it, and he locked himself in that bathroom that night. I was like so mad. And it's fine. Like, I'm friends with his wife. It's cool. Yeah. Sorry, Rachel. But our timeline has always been so all over the place, but you're such a beacon of good in my life, and I just appreciate you so much, and I love our friendship, and I love your family, and I love all the time that we've gotten to spend with each other. And even when you were gone forever, because the world just like found you guys, we all knew about you, but the world found you and then just like warped you around everywhere and like squeezed you out all over the world, and then you get to come home and be just fucking tired and relaxed, and like I get the version of Zach that's just humble and kind and sweet and caring, and you're just such a good person. And I want everyone that loves Portugal Man the band to know, like, just genuinely as Zach, you are just such a good human.
Thank you, you were raised right, and you
went into the world and did good with it. And I appreciate your friendship, and I fucking love you.
Well, thank you. I love you, too. And God damn it, that's super uncomfortable.
Isn't it weird?
But it's really nice, too. I don't know how to.
It's uncomfortable.
And then, it's uncomfortably sweet, but it is, like, very nice.
And this is why.
I'll cry later. I won't do that right now.
Just go look at the river.
He's just sobbing.
One long tear.
Oh, we're talking about a lot of crying. I'll get it. Like, I got to be in a certain place. You know, but,
just let
he's
it out.
He's going to sit alone and picture what you guys missed, because this is not a visual podcast, is Bonnie viciously wringing him out. Like,
wringing
the band
out and squeezing
you
over the world.
She looked like she was going to cry. Use them all up and he comes over.
Like milking a cow.
Yeah. He's going to picture that moment and be like, she was right, man. He's like,
they didn't squeeze us out all over the world. They squeezed us all out and I'm so tired.
They just took it away, man.
And it's okay. Oh, well, I feel like this is a good point for a transition. But literally, this is why we started the whole podcast, is to showcase everyone we know who is just so genuine and cool and wonderful and talented in all their own respects. And we ourselves cannot take compliments, which is why the podcast is called You Are That, because we want you to be able to use that in the future when people are like, you're so fun. You can be like, you are that. And you just soft shoe out of the room. It's how you fucking swat it away and you don't have to take it. So we decided to take that gross feeling and then we're going to put it on other people and over again.
That's a beautiful thing to do. You're like making somebody's day and you're spreading that kind of kindness and stuff. And I'm all about that.
But it's also gross.
Yeah.
Well, one of the most wonderful things that I've got to witness recently was at the concert at Edgefield. Mm-hmm. But you guys took a break and let the like local tribe council come up and do a performance. And you guys are doing that everywhere on your tours now. And that you got from your photographer, right?
In because Australia,
In Australia, they have the land be blessed by the indigenous people before they perform.
So it's basic manners. You just ask permission to, you know.
It's basic fucking manners. It's Guess what we miss here in America?
I know, right?
So basic fucking manners. If we just had some manners, we could be a little more Canadian, which is my hope for everyone.
Yep.
And maybe Australia would think we weren't so fucking stupid.
Thank you. But do you want to tell us a little bit more of how you guys started doing that and kind of intro us into the Portugal the Man Foundation and what you guys are striving for?
Totally. And it's been really fun. So we have a band, we have a foundation, and it's really helped us. For a long time, we've been trying to do this forever, but we did not know how because it was pretty difficult at the beginning. But before we play any show, we reach out to representatives from the tribes of the area that we're playing that are from there or have been displaced there. And we invite them out, and we always pay them, or sometimes it's donations to whatever they want, or sometimes both. But we just like to pass the mic, and we feel like it's a very good shared learning experience for us and the crowd to just learn about the land and the people of it. It's been really amazing, and it keeps getting easier. At first, it was hard just reaching out to people and not sounding weird. And that's why we started in Australia. They kind of have a really good system for it, that they got a website. You can look up where you're going. They have links to reach out to specific elders in those places. And that's what inspired us to do that, is talking to the first person we had was Uncle Alan Madden. And we just talked to him for a few hours. And it was just insane how exactly similar. He just told us the story of colonization in Australia and how just the cookie cutter precision of it. It's exactly the same that we heard from all our native friends in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And we grew up very close with them. And Alaska is a very cool place. Like, you're not as removed from a lot of the people. Like, everybody in their places, like, they know about the natives of the land and stuff, but it's harder to see. In Alaska, all the art's there. All the people are there. You just know the people. You know the struggles. You know a lot of the amazing traditions. You know all the good and bad and just everything. It's very familiar.
Yeah, the histories haven't been so
covered up. Exactly, yeah. And we traveled around. Also, that stuff is so fresh because we're pretty young territory. But yeah, traveling around in the U.S., we'd see the names of cities and rivers and towns, but we just had a hard time seeing the people or hearing the people. And so we started reaching out. It took a while, but we've got now we've got a really great network of people. And we decided to start a foundation because we were doing a lot of things to help or to just represent and elevate Indigenous voices. And we're dipshit artists, so we're very unorganized. And we were saying yes to everything, flying all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to start a foundation so that we can do more things and have it be organized. Our director, Logan Lynn, is just unbelievable and like such an amazing person. He's like, just makes you feel so comfortable. Mm-hmm. He's just very, very good. And we've got a rad team of advisors because we don't, as dipshits, we don't know a lot. And it's one of the things that I always try to represent when it comes to allyship or advocacy is like, be comfortable with your own insecurities about not knowing. There's a lot of that in Portland, specifically during a lot of the protest. Mm-hmm. People are, and I myself, I didn't do a lot of things before because I was afraid that I didn't know how to properly do them, or I didn't want to offend people or do it wrong. And then I'm just like, that stopped me from doing so many things that I wanted to do. And so I just felt okay with that. I'd ask stupid questions.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you know. And if I, by asking a question, I offend somebody, they tell me, I was like, fuck, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but now I won't know do it again. How not. Not to process verbiage. I think for a lot of people that don't have any sort of visual of any kind of native communities in their life or any history of it at all, it's just something they don't think about at all. And then if you're presented with something new and unique to yourself, I think a lot of times people really overcompensate. They fear looking ignorant and being put in their place and being called out as an ignorant white person.
Especially
and
I feel with like, social media being so fucking prominent.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And in America, guess what? A lot of us are ignorant white people.
Totally.
So like just being a part of a community that says like, hey, I may have not openly like done anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, I'm just a product of my environment. Just acknowledging that and stepping out of it and saying, like, what questions can I ask? What questions should I not ask? You know, if you don't know anything about it, it never hurts to ask.
Totally.
Anyone. And then if you say, like, okay, well, if this isn't okay to ask, now I know. You're taking a step to educate yourself. If you can change your focus even just a little bit. The frustration for me is that we're all just people. Mm-hmm. But when people look at it like, oh, well, we're all just people and we're all just doing our part, it's like, we are all just people. But the way that the government and the histories line up is we're not all just people. No, some people aren't treated like we're all people. Mm-hmm. So let's
backtrack. The people that get to say that we're all just people are people that are sitting on top privileged that people, don't.
Yeah. Yes. Totally. Yes. There are people that are unaffected by anything.
Exactly.
That's so cool. So you guys are using your platform as Portugal the Man. You guys have a huge following. You guys have diehard fans. And at some point, you guys just said, hey, we could fucking use this for more. We could do more.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's something you're already passionate about.
Yeah.
You're just being white dudes in the world, though, too, where you're like, how do we do this the best we can? And represent people that have smaller voices than mm-hmm. ours. And our voice is so big right now.
Yeah.
How do we help other people have an important message with a bigger voice and make it not about us?
Yeah.
That's fucking
and that's why we pass the mic and we don't speak for anybody. We just like to turn up the volume, you know? And, you know, and we still fuck up. And that's one thing I want to get out. It's like there's a lot of pretension. To do a little bit of good, you don't have to be smart. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to do shit. Recycle your fucking beer cans. Be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
Be nice. Like
Ted Lasso that shit. Ted Lasso Everyone needs shit. To be a little more Ted Lasso in this world. Just open-minded and eager to help.
It's just fun. We got kind of thrown into it, and we just made some really good friends right off. It's all been built up slowly, you know? It's like we mm-hmm. didn't like go out to like do this big grand thing. It's just like we did one. We're like, that feels fucking right. And we did it again. We're like, cool. And then we make more friends. And now we just got a bunch of friends in the indigenous community. And that's been great. And we found something, especially during the pandemic when we stopped playing shows, was right when we released our foundation. And so honestly, for the last year and a half, we've been focused more on that than our band. And we've had to think outside the box on a lot of things because we try to raise money and fund things. And at first, it was just real easy. It's like, oh, we'll just play a show and give a portion of the proceeds.
But then when shows are taken out of the mix,
we had to think outside the box.
You're like, limited edition merch. Yeah, like, what do we do? We do one design.
It was really fun. So we got to get really creative and talk with people. And luckily, everybody on our team is just like, they're all super fucking smart in their own ways. Really good brainstorming. And it's been really fun. That's why our friend here, April Holder, talented artist, works with Thrive, with the Three Sisters Collective, and is just a complete badass. She's our like punk rock advisor member.
She's
like,
shaking her head.
Oh, no, she's like, she's the fucking like the fuck cops and like the outspoken. she's the rage
she's
against
your rebel.
The machine.
She'd be hand in the air, one arm cuffed, being like, fuck off, but then like, bail me out.
Yeah.
See you guys later.
She's our firecracker, and she's fucking awesome. So for this podcast, it worked out perfectly. She's up here visiting us. We've just been hanging out.
I love it. Yeah. I'm so glad you're here. And now I'm going to take a beat and let's get into a commercial.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we're back. This next part is going to sound a little different. So have your heart tell your brain it's okay to feel uncomfortable and take it in, because we are taking a page from the PTM Foundation Handbook and using our platform to give space for a voice that isn't ours. April isn't here to tell us what to do. She's here to tell us her thoughts and experiences and anything she wants to with this time. We don't know as much as we think we do, collectively as a culture. So listen and know that Bonnie and I ask some stupid questions, and we're learning and we're taking what we hear to heart with the intent to do better. There is so much to learn.
April, thank you for joining us. We are so beyond lucky to have you just happen to be with Zach at this moment. We didn't even have to, like, pull your arm. Thank you for agreeing to join us and talk about whatever you want in this moment. I have a random question to kick off. Thanksgiving. Commercialized, whitewashed holiday.
Oh, I'm so excited.
What is your outlook on this holiday? Do you celebrate if people are celebrating around you? It's also known as the Day of Mourning. And I know a lot of Indigenous people, a lot of tribes celebrate that as more of their focal point. So how do you look at this holiday?
So it is really complex. Like, the history is complex. All of it, from just the fact that it's this false narrative of history. It's the, the happy pilgrims, the happy Indians, and they had this beautiful meal. And you know, none of that's really accurate. And there's this really kind of gross thing that happens with Native history where part of the erasure is that building of the false narrative. It's that overly exaggerating and putting too much emphasis on these so-called holidays. It's just that. It's erasure. It's erasure of, like, the real history. It's erasure of the genocide. It's erasure of a lot of the pain and the trauma that we still presently live with as Native people, manifest in different ways in us, in our communities and individuals. I grew up in Oklahoma. I grew up in, like, this little town called Shawnee, Oklahoma, and we had Thanksgiving meals, you know? But I think for me, it was always kind of taken in a different context, to where it was like, well, every day we're thankful, you know? I remember my mom and my grandma always saying that. They're like, to sit down and share a meal with anyone you care about, family, whoever, That's always something to be really grateful for, and be mindful of the fact that there might be a time where you don't get that. You don't have those things. So that was sort of like the look, as like, as far as the holiday is, you know. And we did, you know, made the typical foods and everything. But it is difficult, because when you're younger and you, like, even as like a Native person myself, not really being aware completely of all the full history and learning more as I got older, it is hard. At the same time, I'm like, I really don't want to, like, ruin things for other people, you know. I love it that families get together. I love it that they feel like this is a time to have closeness. But also, I would like for us all to think of it that way. Like, we should be thankful every day for a lot of things, but have a realistic grasp on the history, have a realistic understanding of how it affects people. And yes, for a lot of people, it is our day of mourning. It's just that acknowledgement of, it's not just that first time of contact and that first meal. It's been everything since. And when you're trying to navigate how do you recover from genocide? How do you recover from such displacement, from the termination period, from the relocation period, from boarding schools? Those things are not, like, so far back in our history. They're right there with us. Like, that historical trauma gets imprinted on your DNA. You live with it. You feel it every day in some way. And we're still supposed to be, like, alive here now and moving forward.
Yeah.
But how do you do that, right?
Was your education as a child in like a mix, just a city school, like a public school, or did you have like reservation education
So Oklahoma's kind of different. Like, it's not a reservation environment the same as like other parts of the country. Because we were all pushed in there and relocated there. A lot of tribes. Some tribes live more predominantly in this town. And we have like so-called like reservation areas, Indian territory. We have little signs up here and there. Oh, it's you're entering this reservation. Mm-hmm. You're leaving this one. And it's usually where our tribal government headquarters are. And like a lot of our businesses and stuff. And where we have land allotments. But like, I went to like a little like kind of country school. They had from kindergarten through eighth grade in the same school.
Okay. Yeah. So that was our small.
Yeah. It was smaller. Like I went to school with like the same 20 kids.
Yeah.
All the way through. Like we really got all very familiar with each other. That's not always great, but sometimes it's awesome too.
Yeah.
Like the guy I live next door to, I'd known him since I was a kid. Like I'm like, I'll always live next door to Travis, you know? So it's weird now because when I was in school, in Oklahoma, the land run was like a big part of the history. They used to make us dress in these like colonial clothes, like these like, you know, the dresses and the bonnets and stuff and go reenact land runs.
Oh shit.
And so as a kid, I'm like, okay, like school spirit. Yeah. Great state of Oklahoma. Let's do this. But then part of me is like, this wasn't right.
They're putting a spotlight us in a weird way.
And there's like, they touch on some Native American tribes. They do like, oh, these were the five, like they call them the five civilized tribes. But they don't talk about like really how so many tribes were relocated there, how painful it was. They talk about the Trail of Tears, but like that wasn't a one-time isolated thing for any tribe. There was a lot of pain that went into all the tribes being relocated there.
And what a weird phrasing. Five civilized tribes. The phrasing of that to me feels
ignorant as fuck.
Right.
Icky. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's demeaning. It's saying like whatever you were before wasn't enough to be human, you know? And then just being aware of that, like how we were once called red animals. I might be wrong. I think it was Andrew Jackson that coined that term, like the red animals.
That doesn't surprise
The Constitution me. Refers to us as the savage Indians. You know, like we don't get to be human beings on our home. Like someone came into our home and said, you're not people anymore. And like I said, that's not so far removed from us in our past where we don't still encounter sort of that mentality in a lot of ways. You see the commercialization of like native imagery, culture, you know. I was telling Zach the other night, the fall is like such a difficult time for so many of us because it becomes Columbus Day.
Yeah. Mm.
And thankfully, a lot of people are taking the right steps into moving and honoring Indigenous Peoples Day, you know, and focusing on what that means, the so-called Columbus Day. It's the celebration of something where people don't know, like they have this like weird whitewashed history of it. And even as like, you know, as Americans, we're not even really honoring a real history, you know. It's like the pretty story of them sailing the ocean and stuff. And I'm like, what was done to the people? Those were not great explorers. Those were violent people that came and destroyed whole civilizations. And those things were continued on for like ever since. Somehow that violence still is experienced in some way. And then, like, after that is what? Halloween? And it's the costumes. It's always the costumes. It's always
so much.
I think that was my first taste of appropriation in my 20s was I had a Wild West themed birthday party because I loved wearing mustaches on my mustache. I fucking loved it. I had a gun. It was like Oregon Trail themed. Right. It was at a bar that had wagon wheels on the wooden saloon style stuff. And it was so fun. Two of my gal friends came in from outside smoking outside the bar and they were like, we just got fucking yelled at in the street. And they were shook. They were like, oh my goodness. And they themselves aren't white, but they're mixed enough to look like two stupid white girls dressed like Indians out on the street. And we all had a moment in the bar where we were like, yeah, maybe that like wasn't a great choice. This is way better for us to put on mustaches than to try to skank up a little Indian girl costume that they made. I think that was my first real awakening to this isn't okay. And Portland at that time, you know, Portland's super hippie. Portland has a lot of people that are like of the earth and green and are more mindful. Even back then in the early 2000s, we're being like, I'm mad enough that I'm going to stop these two drunk girls on the street. I'm going to fucking yell at them. Like Burnside traffic, just scream in their face. And they came in so shocked and offended they were yelled at. But then also took a moment to go, yeah, they're not wrong. Like, yeah. See, but
that's the moment.
Yeah. And I mean, and it kind of goes beyond that. Like, I feel like people shouldn't just have a whole moment where they're like, oh yeah, overly sexualizing a race of people is wrong. Like, I kind of feel like some of that's common sense that we don't really invest in, like, understanding. Mm-hmm. And as an Indigenous woman, as a mother to an Indigenous girl, we live in a different circumstance. There's an epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous women. Mm-hmm. The constant violence against Indigenous women, not just our women, it's our girls, it's our trans relatives, it's our two-spirit relatives, even our men experience it in different ways. So, you know, that, like, hyper-sexualization, it's like, there's a good chance that one of us is a victim somehow. Mm-hmm. We have that in our history. We have that in our lives. You know, I know what that's like. And then to see it put on display as fun, as novelty, as a joke, you're just like, cool. Not only what in the past that happened to us is funny to you, what's happening to us now doesn't apply to you. You get to sit in that place of privilege. I hope you had fun tonight, little girl. You got to dress up and be cute, and we don't get to break from our lives, and we don't get a break from what that does to us.
Yeah.
And so many things happen intersexually with, in regards to, like, violence against, like, our Indigenous people. Every time there are violations of our sacred sites, our homelands, our reservation areas, all of it, it directly correlates to the violence we experience physically on our bodies. You know, they build man camps up where they have pipelines and shit, and the rate of girls being assaulted, going missing, whatever, shoots up huge.
That's so creepy. Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah. It's terrifying. And then it's other things. It's like not knowing what happened to some people. It hurts. And then at the same time, we just realize that can be any one of us. It kind of doesn't matter what we sort of achieve in our personal lives. We're all still subject to that statistic. And it's a lot to carry with you, generally. I remember when I was younger, like I said, I grew up in, like, smaller towns, so. And I was afraid to, like, party with some, like, certain types of, like, people and stuff, because I was like, if anything happens to me, who's going to listen to me? I'm important.
Who's going to believe you?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it was just like, this might not be the safest environment for me just because I am Native. Just
you have to the fact that you have to hiccup.
Yeah, the amount of fun that you get to have, right, and how much more aware of your surroundings, right, you have to be, because all of these things affect you at such a higher rate than the average privileged, right, white woman, right, of the same age, yeah, same body type, same everything. It doesn't matter.
And see, I'm not sure if it's still the, like, I don't know if the statistics exactly same, but I think it's like 1 in 4, or maybe it's 1 in 3 Indigenous girls are going to be raped or assaulted before age 16.
The statistics are staggering.
That's insane.
Yeah. There are a handful of podcasts right now that are out that are really making a big voice, yeah, about certain things. And I didn't realize the numbers until listening to some of those. And I was fucking blown away that just the amount of secrecy that all this is kept in. It's,
you know,
I don't understand. It's not how just it's
like
possible.
Secrecy. I think it's just like an overall blanket of ignorance. For one, like, I've been to parts of the country where people don't even know we're still alive. Like, they're like, oh, like, Native Americans, that's like, you guys were once a people, you know? Like, they don't even think that we still, like, live and exist now. We're gone. Like, who's looking for someone they never knew was there? There's that.
Blissfully unaware is one thing. You can be that level of stupid, but you have to, like, actively decide that none of that pertains to you, and actively ignore, more than ignorance even, it's a cruel level of ignoring things to not see what is starting to rise up, become very fucking obvious.
Right.
Because, like, you used to have to do more research, and now it is, thank God, the amount of people that are actually having voices being heard is more and more and more, and I hope that snowballs, right, and builds, because it's fucking important. People that don't live in a town that has a single person of color at all should still know what the fuck is happening in this world. Well, yeah. That's really bizarre.
I mean, that's kind of what close you off. Hope for all human beings. Like, even if this is no context to what you're relating to in your world, you should still care. Isn't, yeah, that, like, part of the human condition?
It's, it just really should be.
But we don't do that, and we don't think about it, and, you know, it becomes this weird cycle too, because then you have people who are like, I do care. I want to bring awareness and stuff. And it's like, great. Awareness isn't enough. Awareness is not actually going to completely save anyone's life. It's about really changing exactly how you live your life to make that safer world for someone else. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I go back to, like, the costuming, people don't realize how harmful that is, how harmful it is, like, on an emotional level to someone who has been a victim. Right? Yeah. To someone who is looking for that family member. They see that, and that's just like...
People just great. Think it's
it never
equivalent.
Mattered. It yeah, never, it never mattered in the first place.
A slutty so, nurse costume is not the same,
right.
As a yeah. really skanked out.
Yeah, like well, that's a profession. That's not a
exactly.
I, you know, that's not your cultural identity. That's not the foundation mm-hmm. of who you are as a
it's
person.
Not the same.
You also have to consider too the history of boarding schools where they robbed us of that. They took it from us. They cut our hair. They beat on us to not let us speak our language. They separated us from our families
and then called it civilized.
A lot of us didn't come home. We have whole generations of children that were lost. The numbers are in the thousands now of the school, the boarding schools in Canada where they're finding bodies of yeah. children. It's terrible, you know? And here in the States, it's not that different. It really isn't. We haven't even started investigating them. Schools shouldn't have cemeteries. Like, schools should not have cemeteries, but they do. I remember hearing stories of, you know, children from my tribe where they accidentally fell out a window. You know, I'm like, that's okay. That's what
how
happened.
Many window deaths do you get on right. a census before yeah. it becomes a
and
noted
that they were
problem.
Kids that they took, like, sometimes they took them as babies away from their families, and they just never came home.
And there
and
is
so
no census either, because those children don't have names
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah. To see that, and just to know that, like, oh, and now you guys get your Halloween and your Thanksgiving and stuff, and we're still digging up our children. Like, now. Right now, that's happening. And so it's a lot to take on. It's so much emotional labor, too, dealing with this. And it's really hard because we've worked so hard to make a resurgence of Indigenous children being proud of themselves. Being proud of themselves. Being thankful. You know, you get to have your, you know, your hair long. You get to sing our songs. You get to have our dances. You get to feel community with us. You get to know those grandparents. Our kids are here with us now. And but at the same time, it's like, oh, but let me explain to you how you're going to go out on Halloween night and see someone think we're a joke. All that stuff we try to instill in them to give them that confidence and that self-esteem, and it gets torn apart by whenever we become a joke in a movie, whenever we become, you know, a mascot for a team, whenever there's fans of these teams, like, shouting in our faces and stuff and spitting on us and doing these things, and it's like, it's constantly like pushing a rock up a hill. You know?
Yeah, how do you make a generation proud of themselves when the whole American mirror is telling them that that's wrong?
Well, yeah. And then how do you, like, retain that sense of confidence and identity that is just for you, too? I know people that are, like, they're dancers, you know, when we have our pals and stuff. But people are like, oh, come and dance for us. And it's like, oh, is this your human parade now? Like,
dance,
this is
monkey.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Give us
and I'm
a
like,
show.
No, you don't get access to us 24/7 too.
So this shit is sacred.
Yeah.
Our family has always wanted to be more connected to that world and always been interested and fascinated by the real histories. My mom was a silversmith and she was friends with lots of Native women and made Native jewelry and learned about the land and the stones and what they meant. And my dad worked alongside just a huge crew of Indigenous men and learned the proper way to build. And, you know, we've always been raised in this way that we wanted to be a part of something. And then I moved to Reno and worked for Amazon. That was fucking hell. Amazon, located right outside of Reno, is next door to reservation.
Yeah.
So half the res worked at Amazon. It's a job. They moved in, gave up some of their land, and they get jobs. And I was so stoked. I get to make new friends in Reno. I just moved there. They wanted nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And I had a girl pull me aside and was like, they don't hate you. They just literally don't need this.
Yeah.
They don't need this right now.
Yeah.
And for the end of time, we don't need this. Like, we don't need a random white girl wanting to, and their res was closed to everyone. Like, you couldn't come in unless you were of blood and could prove it. And at one point was like, oh, I'm not allowed to have my feelings hurt. Like, and I told the girl that. I was like, I don't have my feelings hurt. I'm not allowed to. Like, I'm just trying to dip a toe and be like, hi, I'm a safe space. I'm an ally. But they were like, we don't need an ally. We've seen what allies can do for us. They had an era of everything we do that isn't everything Amazon, we keep sacred. They did lunches on their own and they did everything in a way that was like, we don't want to give up a part of ourselves to make it a show for you. It was so humbling to see. And it was like, I want to know, but also it's not their fucking job to educate me. It wasn't their job to let me in their world. It was their right to protect what they had. And it was their right to have sacred moments. And it wasn't about some random white girl from Oregon working at a factory.
Well,
you know?
I think that's like a really good point, is that it's not actually about you. And with everything that's going on now, that is one of the stark realities that some people have to deal with, especially when they're like, I'm here, I've got good intentions. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you do, bless your little heart. But not every space is meant for you. Not every space is meant for you. There are things called boundaries. We have them personally as human beings. Mm-hmm. We have them culturally.
And
we
everyone expects them, yeah. respect of their own boundaries.
Right, exactly. So I'm like, here's the thing. We've gone through generations of our boundaries just not even being considered. So if we are here to uphold them, like, you got to respect existence or mm-hmm. you're just going to get resistance. And sometimes, as, like, Zach likes to call me a little firecracker about it, we don't have to be nice.
No.
I'm not obligated to be nice and educate some, you know, good-natured white person who just wants to be there.
I want to learn
ally.
And grow.
I'm like, yeah, you want to be an ally? Cool. First of all, Google, there's that. That cost me no minutes of my life, so go for it. There are Native organizations out there that put out wonderful educational yes. material. You can find it on social media. You can find it on Instagram. Follow Illuminative. Great organization. Native-based. They will tell you about our presence in the media. They will talk about history. All of these things. Fantastic. There are grassroots organizations. There's a Stronghold Society. There's all of these different groups that you can go and look at their website. They have a donation button. They say, like, oh, if you want to learn more, here's this. Also, people should just go to some libraries. I don't know if, like, some...
They still exist.
Good doers know this.
They're
There's,
free,
like, these
y'all.
Wonderful things called books. They hold information. You open them. It's right there. But also, like, be in a place where... And this is just, like, a good rule of thumb for anyone intelligent. Even if you get information from a source... invest into what source it is you're getting it from too, because you can go find books on
real.
Well, you can go find books on Native people, but they're written by like the colonizers.
Yeah,
I was just gonna say, I'm like, it's still that narrative. Yeah. But there's great like Native authors, historians, intellectuals. I always recommend people read Vindaloria, read I think it's called Red Land, White Lies. Read these books that were written by our scholars who are really invested in like telling you the truth. That's another thing about allyship. At some point, I feel like people who want to be allies should be mad themselves that they've been lied to. Like, be mad that, you got told this fake thing that you get to sit in this place in history and you get these, like, great founding fathers and this and that. And I'm like, be mad that they didn't tell you the truth. But also part of what that history does is it reinforces that hierarchy.
Keeps them in line.
It keeps you under this like train of thought of where you're supposed to sit in life, where you sit in history. All of these things, like question all of it, look into like challenging all of it, because there's a good chance that a lot of it's wrong. I always like myself, I always question about like those early documentations of like first contact and things like the Thanksgiving story. I'm like, how did these, like, Europeans manage to learn our language so well, like, fluently?
Oh, yeah.
In such a short span of time. And they just had these great translators. Oh, man. Also, like, I'm pretty sure Native people then were kind of like, I don't know about these guys. Like, they're kind of iffy. They're weird. They
keep giving us these blankets that
they
are itchy.
They don't bathe. They smell, like, really bad because, like, I'm sorry.
Europeans back in that day did not smell good.
There's some Americans now that don't smell good. Zach
raised his hand, everybody.
There's some now, but...
You smell great.
That was always my joke I was making to the guys. I was like, you know, you guys got here... We were like, hey, we got water. You bathe yourself with
Let
it.
Me show you this.
I don't know if you know this. You're supposed to not wear the same thing for like several months. And also like, you know, eat some fruit. You guys got scurvy. We don't know what that is. We eat like nutritious food. You know, oh, you're drinking mercury to treat your syphilis. Might not be a good idea.
Yeah.
You know? Like, maybe that's not a good idea. Also, we don't know what syphilis is. Stay over there. But interaction, it's so romanticized.
It's awful.
People love the like
explorers are invaders.
Story.
If you change the language and all, no matter if you don't change the story, if you change the wording and change everything from explorers to invaders, the fucking story reads.
Yeah.
So
change
much.
It to pillage. Change it to rape. Change it to the words that are actually
there's a whole weird
descriptors.
Thing with like manifest destiny and just like I said, that false narrative they like to create. And it's those early documentations they talk about, like, coming, and they're like, these lands were just fruitful, just empty, beautiful spaces, kind of ripe for the taking. And it's like, that's not empty, beautiful spaces that are just fruitful. That's centuries of permaculture. That's centuries of intellectual, like, permaculture that has been carefully designed by not just one or two tribes, like, mass cultural areas. And that's their own indigenous intellect ecosystem. Like, we had great translators. We had to all talk to each other. We were here, you know? It's trade routes. It's all these things. And then that also happens, too. People tend to think of, like, Native American, and they just sort of think of North American Native Americans. You do know that we traded all the way down to, like, the furthest end of South America.
The borders were created by the invaders, not by...
And so it becomes a really weird thing because, like, borders, that's not our way. We didn't just, like, get to, like, Mexico and be like, oh, gotta stop here, you know? Like, we're like, hey, what else were we gonna do? We're gonna walk, we're gonna meet each other, we're gonna connect. You see relationship, and then you see how that relationship gets sort of reinforced with dealing with, like, the relocation and the oppression. You know, now tribes are, like, reaching out to each other, and we're getting to have that. We're getting to have, like, those connections of, like, your colonialist experience was different than ours, but also we're in this together. And so how do we, like, support one another? In some ways it happens in really beautiful ways. In some ways it's, like, I hate that we're kind of bonding over our pain, but, you know.
Yeah.
Trauma.
Like Zach said, like, in Australia, it's indigenous people all over the world, you know? So we talk about, like, oh, they sent you guys to schools, too? Oh,
yes.
They took your language from you, too? Oh, you have to go to museums to see your
heritage, your artifacts for your families?
We were at a museum, and they had these panels here in Portland, and I'm probably wrong. I think it was Haida. But they had the design panels from the house there.
Yeah.
And I was like, someone's going to have to pay to go in to see something that's part of their home. Like, oh, we have to go into museums and into spaces where we're not welcome. Pretty much, like, I'm not saying Portland's, like, a bad place at all. But I saw how, like, some people look at me when I go into places. Like, who's this little brown person here? I'm like, we have to do that to go into places where those are our things.
Yeah.
That's our history. Sometimes those were our family's things that were taken from us. That's not a good feeling. That's really unsettling. And so I translate that into the art I make. So
your art is beautiful. So just to describe to you guys, when we met her for the first time, April was fucking just carving at a lino block while she had lino prints over all this beautiful paper, just laying everywhere. The detail is incredible. And she's just going, oh, I was just fucking around. And oh, that, like, her art is fantastic. But some of, like, your heritage style pieces, they're portraits. They're powerful in how much emotion is put into them. It's like collage-y, but then painting and, like, color blocks and the portraits looking through. And it's almost like you're getting to see, like, a moment of time from you.
You know what? That's it's really interesting because for Native artists and Native art history, that's shaped by colonialism too. That's where you see things that were, like, our utilitarian objects, things that we made in our, I always say all Native people were artists. We didn't think of it as, like, being an artist because we didn't come from that European standard of, like, art's for a select few and it's on this pedestal. And
everything was handcrafted because it was made.
It's only made by men and stuff. Mm. Like, no, like, all of us were artists. Art was a way of life. That's communication. That's storytelling. That's how you live. So that's why I know so many people who are Native artists. They don't, like, go out and say, like, yes, art is my profession. They're like, no, while I'm at home, I make this. I do this. And it's because that's an inherent part of just the culture overall. Culturally, which just were artists. But for me, as a, like, a visual artist, I went to art school. I learned all the European stuff that's really cool and rad and awesome, but it was, like, commissioned by the church and shit. So, you know, it's like, there's a lot of, like,
right?
We were talking about dicks earlier. There's a lot of dicks in y'all's
art.
There's
so, like, much dicks. Like, everything is phallic. And
I know. I'm like, man, you guys were like, there's, like, I don't know why you'd want to see your savior's penis so much, but Jesus is one of my favorite comic book characters. And it's like, you know, he is, like, he's cool. He could do everything.
Yeah, he's fucking magic.
Yeah, favorite X-Men, could walk on water and everything. So, you know, that's cool. I mean, those
can
stories,
can I tell you
too,
what I love about some of your art that I saw? You had the European style in your women. She paints the women's with the real bodies and like the folds. Oh. And I was like, I stopped on one piece and was like, yes. She gave her booty, but then she gave her like the role that's like the one that sits there. It's really there, you guys.
When you sit down casually, give yourself a little crease.
Yes. Yeah. There should always be a crease and some roundness there, because guess what? Your organs are shifting. Those are your organs, people.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be painted thin, but you did. It's like the fat over lean rule.
You know what? I think I know which piece you're talking about. That's me, actually. That's me.
It's so
that's beautiful. That's not your peen. That's all indigenous roles.
That's like all indigenous roles.
You know, they tell us, like, occupy space. I'm literally trying to do that
I myself, love that it's a like, self-portrait physically. Of you. Well, you're gorgeous, because I saw that one and was like, oh, I just stopped and I was like, she's painting the female form how it's meant to be painted, the light on it and the skin.
So there's so much conditioning that comes from Christianity, too, that we encountered with colonialism and that body shaming, like, and it's that hypersexualization. You know, they got here and they saw how we dress to be comfortable in our cultures where we don't over-sexualize women's bodies and their breasts and those things. But it's coming from this, like, Christian European standard of like, oh, cover up. Oh, they are savages. They're disgusting. I'm like, you're the perverts looking at us. We walk around like this. This is normal. Now, you know, I look at it and I'm like, especially because things like body positivity, you know, people talk about that now. And I'm like, indigenous people should have always had body positivity. Like we did inherently in our culture. It's just become twisted over history and taken away from us.
It's literally Puritan white people being uncomfortable with other cultures who are sensual by nature and are just culturally rich with music and fashion.
And
you literally look
at
anything, like a Christian white woman in a room with like a Puerto Rican girl, with a black girl, with an indigenous girl. All those bodies are so different from what American white women are told they're supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
Proper wives. They look at anything else, and that is a threat, and that is over-sexual. And those are the women with the Bibles lining up at City Hall being like, we must have this in the school.
I always, think about that now, because, like I said, there's that weird balance, because, like, being aware that indigenous women do get hyperly sexualized in ways, and then balancing out that, like, we're also supposed to embrace and love our bodies. And for me, culturally, I'm like, I'm an extension of, like, the earth. And my ancestors and where I come from. I don't look in the mirror and see, like, I don't have a, you know, hot real summer bikini body. I'm like, I am
nobody
like a map
does anymore.
Of my journey into motherhood.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm built
it's like your
my
history.
People who, you know, did work, gathered, you know, we hauled our wood, we built our fires. Like, that's what my body reflects, right? As far as, like, body image goes, just for, and you say, like, white women are supposed to be, like, all these thin. So I'm like, man.
We put that
culture
on ourselves.
That teaches you to hate yourself.
100%
loves for you to hate yourself. We built whole fucking like industries on us hating ourselves. Oh, buy this tiny ass outfit. You don't fit it, bitch. Learn how to fit into it. You know, starve yourself. Hate yourself. Hate how you look. You got spots on your face.
Realistically,
cover that shit up,
it's because culturally, European women, you are there to be for the man. For your weird men. And this mixed onto every other culture is like, why are you covering up your breasts? Because my man,
your man should stop looking
at your tits then. Like, how about don't over-sexualize every little fucking thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We just need to get into offense, Zach, but like a woman utopia where we're all like Futurama? They had like the Amazon women.
Right.
And they're just like, used men for things. And then they were like, hulked out and strong and just doing whatever the fuck they wanted. And I was like, where's that life at? But I always say I was born in the wrong era.
Yeah.
And when I had a dating profile, it just said Renaissance soft on it. And I was like, yo, I got some small titties and some round hips. And like, if you touch me, pie comes out.
Yeah.
Pie for you. I make pie for you.
I like that. No, oh I mean, gosh. You think about it, it's like, how much do we want to alter ourselves to serve the male gaze? Why? Have you seen what men like? It's fucking stupid. Why would you want to be that?
And
like,
it changes all the time. Have you checked their browser history lately?
It's the Rick and Morty thing. It's like, I've seen what make you cheer. Like, your boobs don't bother me. So, like, I've seen that.
It takes a long time of growing up, though, of any female to realize that that's completely accurate.
Yeah. Like, Yeah. Oh my gosh. Some guy doesn't like how I look physically. Right. You mean this finite shell of a existence that I have? You're not aesthetically pleased by that? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Oh, too bad.
I didn't fit in your box. So
I was too tall and I had a potty mouth. I didn't attract a whole lot. Right. It was fine. Stay away from me. It's fine.
My whole joke is I'm like, why do you have to... Like I said, just contour yourself to suit a male gaze. The same with Indigenous people. Why do we have to change ourselves to suit a white gaze?
Mm-hmm. Why do you have to dress a certain way to not get taken?
I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, all my ancestors survived genocide stuff for me to worry about what this guy thinks of how I look. Cool, right? That's not what life's about. That was never what life was about. No. It's the same with, like, capitalism. Like, oh, yeah, I was meant to get up and do a 9-to-5 forever because that's what my people fought so hard for my generation to even exist. Mm-hmm. It's because they wanted me to make a certain amount an hour. Okay. No, none of that matters. You don't have to have these terms that we're conditioned to live on to have a real life that you enjoy.
Yeah.
You know? Have what you love. Have what you care about. Be purposefully there for it. And I think that's what... is allyship too. It's like having good intentions is great. We all have good I hope we all have a good intention. Some of us don't, but that's not enough.
It isn't enough.
Really want to be there. Really,
and you
want
owe
to
us nothing. Yeah. So that being said, as two giant white sisters, we appreciate you.
That actually leads
sitting down and like literally just
question.
Being able
exactly
to
what I'm going
to
refer to you as the giant white sisters.
Please those do. Giant so white sisters,
like, these large white women,
they're fucking loud
so
too.
One of them has spots coming out of her.
The other one's real tall, super foul. I don't know.
So like,
I do have a question, and this is it's a stupid white person question, but in reality, myself, knowing that I can ask how you want to be supported, how I can honor you and your art and what you would like us to showcase for you. Also, I feel like more people that want to, our generation and younger, God, they're going to fucking change the world. I really hope so. Because I think there's a lot of people that want to do a lot of movement in the right direction, raise their kids better than before us, be better about which narrative we're putting out into the fucking world would be great. But also doing their own homework, not putting the work on asking people, tell me everything you know, educate me yourself because I want your voice to be the voice that matters. That's not necessary. Listen to everybody's voices. Read the books that white people didn't write. I think that's really fucking important. But also how would you like us to support you? Aside from just
like personally.
Talking on the podcast, I'm you specifically personally. You don't owe me having to educate
me
on how
personally
to support you.
Do you have any land
but like,
needs?
If I did, like, I would fucking hand it to you. That's the thing.
That's a joke. But, no, I mean, but some in it's, some aspects, it's great. Like, I totally support people doing that. I'm like,
good.
You have physical like land and space you want to turn over to Indigenous people, to organizations, to individuals, to tribal governments, do it. Do it. Do it now. Don't hesitate. It's not the wrong decision. But also, like, once you do, that was never supposed to be yours in the first place. You have no say in it. Navigating where, and I don't know why it's difficult for some people to understand where you not are not supposed to center yourself is really interesting to me. But
because white people have been the center of everything for so fucking long.
I know. You guys are so precious.
I really hate that.
Anytime I have any sort of weird fucking, I'm just like, ugh, white people are the fucking worst. And it's come out of my mouth for just like
it's
20 years of white people are worse. We were lucky enough to not grow up completely surrounded by white people. And then we moved to a town that had no white people and our black cousin got to come live with us. And I was like, what the fuck? It was my first time of having like my family feel like I have to step in front and be like, how dare you? How dare you see someone and they looked different and you fucking acted on it? Like it was insane. And we got to see like how like generations of white families were raising their offspring
in the bubble.
To
only
be in the bubble, not to leave the bubble. Right. And it was shocking. It was so insane to me to see that. You couldn't shake those people to save your life. You couldn't wake them up. You couldn't educate them because what they knew is what they knew. And you were wrong It was so frustrating to see, but it also made me take a step back and be like, the way I see these people and the way they sicken me are how lots of cultures are raised to just see white people in general. They can see me in a grocery store and not realize I'm not like that guy.
But it doesn't matter.
We
have to be better in
everything
we do to do.
That's like a lot of things. If like when people are like, how do we deal with like these issues and these issues? I was like, those are kind of white issues.
Yeah.
And those are kind of
those
like,
aren't
for you
about
guys to deal with. And I'm not here to like try to tell anyone how to live. I mean, I will someday when I start my own cult, but not today. Like,
is it an all-inclusive cult? And can
you can't ask that question because you're white.
So. Oh, motherfucker! Like, damn it! But it's also not your job to make us feel okay.
Right.
Like we don't have to feel better.
Yeah. Like honestly, your feelings don't matter to me.
Yeah.
Like that's
you. Good. That makes you sound like
fuck yeah.
Like,
no.
People are like, oh god, that sounds mean. And I'm
no,
like,
it's not.
No, because if I had to stop and take time for every like white person's feelings that I come across, I'm like, I'm pretty sure my people have a history of having to cater to the whims of your feelings, how you wanted things, how you wanted your land. It became your things. It became your America. It became your American dream. It became all these things. Whatever identity we had was not, what, not good enough to be a person or not good enough to exist. You reaped all the benefits of our work. Like I said, you took all the permaculture, the agriculture.
And then wrote you out of the real histories and taught that back to you in school.
Right.
The amount of permaculture classes that are offered is kind of nauseating nowadays, but I won't. As a gardener, I'm not thrilled with that.
As a quickie, I do want to touch base on, as a quickie, it's Zach's episode. We took over and we're talking about our fucking shit we fucking hate. But things we love. Portugal Demand Foundation. What led you to doing that? What's your role in it? And what do you want people to take away from it? What do you feel is like your most powerful influence in this?
Okay, so I met John first. It was cool because I don't know if it's just me as like a weird person. I'm never like super impressed with people in general. I'm like, oh yeah, you might have like this cool job or whatever, but like, let me see who you are.
Oh, and then you met John and you're like, you're introverted, quiet little weirdo.
Yeah.
Let me get inside the, it was you're great. So dynamic on stage, and then you go stage and you're like, hi.
Because I met him and we were just kind of visiting at first, and then he said something about, you know, like growing up out in Alaska and stuff, and I was like, do you ever have to melt snow to get water? And he was like, yeah. And so we just started talking about like normal things. And
normal things.
Yeah,
you normal know, melting things. The snow for water.
Normal poor people things like that too. Like, you ever do poor people shit? Yeah, me too. Cool.
It's such a bonding factor.
And then I was just like, you're not a bad person. And so we just became buddies. I might not seem like it. I have like my weird introvert, like awkward ass tendencies. So I was like, you're somebody I'm not scared of being cool with too. So
you kind of let your walls down. It's the artist to artist thing.
Yeah. And then we started talking about other things. And like I said, there's plenty of do-gooders out there who are like, oh yeah, I'm for native causes, but it was different because it was like, we're going to try our best not to do this the wrong way, but there's a good chance we'll fuck up. And if you're willing to help, we'd really appreciate it. And I was like, you know what? I'm down. Like, I trust you guys. I trust these guys with my kid, you know? So I was just like, all right, I'm down. And it was me knowing different people and us being able to just like give feedback and then actually having them listen to my lived experience of things. Like, that's the really beautiful thing about the foundation. It's not just me. It's Josue. It's Roberto. It's like all of it. It's even like Logan's not native, but like us being able to share those real lived, unique experiences and how that feeds into what we can achieve together. I think I said it early on when we were starting the foundation. I was like, this is basically an experiment in allyship. We're going to fuck up. We're going to do our best. Mm-hmm. No one's perfect, but we're going to at least try to take it in a direction that maybe hasn't been invested in enough. And let's see where we can go from there. Let's see how we can grow this, how we can expand upon it. There's plenty of things that I have no clue about, and I'm glad they're like looking into finding other people who are more knowledgeable about it, who can give more insight. That's part of it, is like, you put a really like weird ass group of people together enough, you're going to come up with something amazingly magical, or like a cult. Again,
yeah. Like, so we're like a cult.
Amazing magical cult. I mean,
or a little
fine.
Of both.
Right.
But with the foundation, it's like, let's bring people together. Some of us are like-minded folks. Some of us have very different opinions of things. Also, no native people are the same. Mm-hmm. You know, each tribe is absolutely unique. So we get all this perspective, but it helps us to see what is most effective, how we can reach out. Someone was asking me about them. They're like, so they do these like land acknowledgements before the shows. And I was like, you know, I don't like even that term. I don't think it's a land acknowledgement. I think it's something very different. It's people acknowledgement, and it's reclaiming that space. Like, that's a whole nother thing. Reclamation of our own space, of knowing like, my voice needs to be here, right now. And these guys are just like, you know what? We're really not even supposed to be here. We just happen to be playing the show, and we have this resource. Please take it. Please use it. And also, we're not going to edit you.
We're not going to put rules on your traditions. Right. We're not going to tell you what's okay for you.
Or even if it's not traditions, if it's people talking about like what they're really experiencing and the harsh, like, things. Like, tell, like, a whole stadium full of people, by the way, you're all white people, like, on stolen land and shit. Like, some of them are going to be like, what?
Good.
You know? But I'm like, good. You're okay with us making people uncomfortable.
It was, you know, moving to witness. I think one of the things that I took from it when I was started researching it more and what you guys do is, yes, it's beautiful to be like, hi, we're in Portland and we have this, you know, local council here. They're going to come out. What was hard to swallow and probably not surprising to a lot of people is certain locations there wasn't anyone to find because there's no one there anymore. That's heartbreaking. To think, like, we fucked up so bad that there are groups of Indigenous people that are just completely wiped out or so displaced that they're not in America anymore and they cannot be breached.
Right.
Like, that's whole regional culture gone. Right.
And you know what? There's something that happens when people get addressed with that information and to do it so, like, publicly the way the guys do it is, for one, like I said, it makes people uncomfortable. Good. You should be uncomfortable. That's the very least we can do. Also, being uncomfortable will not kill you. I don't know if some white people know this, but being uncomfortable actually doesn't kill you.
Also, being wrong.
Being wrong doesn't
is like, that's normal.
And then I don't like when people try to overcompensate out of guilt, but when people do feel the guilt from that history, I'm like, good, sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sit with what you did. Sit with it and actually really take it in. Take it in on, like, the deepest level you can, because you're never going to learn how to navigate life as a better person until you own up to everything. Oh, that was my ancestry. That wasn't me. Yeah, guess what? Someone's got to pay the price. That's how it works. Like, there, you got to restore balance somehow.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, us coming and talking about our issues to you is not us coming out and obliterating you as a payback, right?
Yeah.
It's payback. That makes me so fucking... I get really annoyed and passionate when, like, those are my ancestors. That's great. Everybody that claims to have, like, 1% of Native American and you're trying to find it in your ancestry chart, feel fucking guilty about your 1%. How about that?
Yeah.
Think about why you have 1%. Don't brag about that.
Yeah.
Like, really dig down deep and think about why that's your move you get to posture on.
Right.
That's weird shit.
Yeah. Also, like, that whole percentage thing is weird.
It's bullshit,
and it's
weird,
part of, like, the terms that, like, Native people are used to, because there's federal recognition for your tribes, and so you get enrolled, and there's, like, a whole blood quantum issue. And I'm like, cool, you guys do that to dogs and us. So
yeah.
I got a little card to carry in my wallet. It's in my wallet right now. Says, like, my little percentage, my pedigree.
Are you serious?
I got my pedigree with me, just in case I have to pull it out and
verify. Really have a card that has your fucking percentage?
Yeah,
on it?
It says 1/4 Sacapox. Of the Sacapox Nation.
Prove it. That's the government going, prove it.
Yeah. It's the government saying we need to know how many of you are left so we know how many to get rid of. That's what that is too. That's why Blood Quantum started. If you don't have an idea of how many numbers you have left to eliminate, you don't know how many of your enemy is there. That's why they started doing those things. They had to keep count of us as they relocated us, as they removed us. We were herd like cattle. That's dehumanization. That's being reduced to something less than human, and that's what happens. And now, like I said, I have a little card that says that, and I mean, I love my tribe, I love my people, I love where I come from. I'm so happy I have them still, but also,
so
I got a little card. And then there's, like, this weird thing that happens, too, where, like, even with other Native people, they're like, how much are you? I'm like, how much am I?
That's weird. It's like fucking basketball statistics at that point, like, who's more pro?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
And then there's, like my daughter, she's, like, 6 different tribes.
Yeah.
So she's 3 tribes on her father's side, and she's 3 tribes on my side. But she's only enough to be enrolled in my tribe. So if, for some reason, they changed the blood quantum, she wouldn't have an official tribe she's federally identified with. And there would be people who are like, oh, you're not card-carrying Native, you know? And so
card-carrying Native.
That's, like, becomes a whole thing, too.
I know, but, like, wouldn't that be kind of beneficial for her to be, like, not on the radar?
Where tribes have federal recognition stuff, that affords us some rights because they were supposed to honor those treaties, which they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that federal recognition gives us some function as, because all tribes are sovereign nations. We are a nation within a nation status. Most people don't understand that or aren't familiar with it. Because of that, in the eyes of the U.S. government, the way they're supposed to honor it is, like, as if we were France, as if we were another country.
Or like Puerto Rico.
We are supposed to have that.
You have your own law.
laws. But that sovereignty has been, it's been twisted and it's been taken from us. And so it was like, yeah, we give you this kind of on paper, but how much do you really get to like exercise that independence that you have? Well, yeah, you get your federal recognition and stuff, but also we're going to send your kids to boarding schools. Also, like, you have to go through the assimilation process. Also, we're going to remove you here. Also, we're going to do this. And so it became this convoluted, crazy history, and each tribe is different. So it's really hard to like understand. I'm Native. I don't know all the tribes in the country. I don't know what all of it is. There's some tribes that only have state recognition too. It's really complex, and it becomes so difficult because whenever it's things that we all, for the most part, mutually agree on, like it was like Standing Rock. Like we all knew, hey man, show up. That's not our tribe. That's not our people. We're not even in that state. Guess what? Show up. Because at a certain point, Native American people, and this is also part of our more current history, this is like in the 60s and 70s and stuff with the, you know, forms of different organizations like the American Indian Movement, where we're regaining that sovereignty. Like I said, it's that reclamation, it's that taking back that space and those things. Something happened where I think a lot of tribes realized they came for all of us. They came for all of us. It wasn't just one particular group. They came for all of us. They're still coming for all of us. And if we don't show up, we're all we have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's people who want to be allies. Cool. They still don't know how to do that. And it's this generation of people who are like, well, let's figure out how to do this. Let's figure out our best ways of doing it. And yeah, I don't think the PTM Foundation is going to be the solution to Native American issues and stuff. But we're one small step in the right direction.
It's part of a positive movement.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful moment to be able to take their platform and then open it up to just the voices of the people of that region. It's just making everyone stop.
Right.
And listen.
Right. And like I said, I'm from a small town. I'm an artist. I'm not like a super well-known artist by any means, but I'm getting to talk to you guys and at least having some other people get exposed to information that they might not have known otherwise.
Yeah.
How'd I do that? Because these guys helped me, you know, and I trusted them enough to help me.
And that's how we met you, is because we trust them enough to have sources that are important and know people that are lifting the right voices at the right time and trying to have the right connections that it's mutual respect.
Yeah. And respect is such a like universal thing. You think it would be hard to figure out, but you know, it's really weird because it's kind of like the, like when people start getting into a knowledge of Native issues and stuff. And like you said, they want like, I want to know everything. And I'm like, you're not going to know everything. It's impossible. By the way, some of us don't know everything. Mm-hmm. So you're like trying to come to me as like your end all be all resource of Native issues. I can't tell you. But also I always like tell people when they're like, well, why can't I know all of like the traditional stuff and the sacred stuff? And I'm like, you don't know everything about the fucking universe. Are you mad at the universe? It's not normal to think that you need to occupy every space.
That's an entitled way of thinking that you get even to know everything.
Religions that are free form, right. Join them all religions. People don't sign up because they want to know all about it.
Yeah.
And there's even some religions that they won't let you in, like Scientology. Yeah. I want to know everything about Scientology because I think it's a fucking crazy ass cult. They're not going to let me in to find out. Respect it and move on in your life. It's a heritage and a culture.
Right.
You guys don't owe me anything.
Right.
You don't owe anyone claiming they're 1% anything. Mm-hmm. Anything.
Exactly.
But it's all so much, and like, this is a drop in the fucking bucket. You're passionate, and I love your stories, and I feel like I could sit and talk with you all day and just
seriously. What I do as an artist gets to like reach people, at least on a visual level for
your
that.
Art is so
because that's like what it is amazing. Too. Like, how you said, I paint people and stuff. I paint women that are like me or my daughter and stuff, because it's like the museum thing the other day. We walked into it and stuff. I want my daughter to be able to go in those spaces with her children and say, this belongs to us. I have every right to be here. Look, there are women that look like us. This is where we are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. This is what was made for me to see. It was made for me. This wasn't made by someone else. And like, this was made
curated
for us.
Based on my heritage.
They aren't going to be here eventually. Like, in the course of that happening, it's like, that's your plan, is for us to be gone. No, I'm sorry. You're just going to end up several generations later with like little weird mud ass tribe people like me who are like, oh no, by the way, I'm loud. I'm going to make like weird ass paintings.
Still mad.
Good.
You got to stay mad. This is all fucking
bullshit. Stay mad.
More people should feel like this. You've taught me a shitload in a very condensed amount of time. Broke my heart like 5 times. I feel uncomfortable and nauseous. And
good.
That's how people should fucking feel listening to this shit. Because it's not okay.
This is why we got all the fucking talking turkey and shit out of
I know. Head. Okay. But more importantly,
we're the dicks.
We do. Yeah,
we're the dicks. We do have. Sexism is not a dick.
For people that want to know where to find you, support your art. Everybody buy our fucking art. It's gorgeous. Support you in your art and with anything you want people to follow and support. Where can they find you?
Okay, so for people to find me and support my art, I have one big rule, and that is I'm nothing without my community. So I can't just tell you how to support my art. I'm going to tell you, follow Lynette Houses, follow Nanny Chacon, follow Thrive Unlimited, the company I work with, follow Native artists, like Google us, find us. Like, look at our work. Like, there's Native curators out there. There's Native museums. Like, go find us. My thing is, I am, like, I think I told you guys this earlier. I kind of keep not a super big radar of my social medias. I abuse the shit out of my Instagram. Eon Fluxus. That's the thing I abuse the most. Also, like, there's Native companies that do everything, not just clothing and stuff. There's, you can hire Native companies that do landscaping, do this, that, like, support them. Look into where you're from and look, because there's a good chance that you might not be that far from a reservation area. And if you have something you can offer up to them, if it's land, if it's some sort of resource, you can go and be like, hey, I just want to know, how do I start turning this over to you? How do I start really trying to set things right in a real action, and not just nice words, not just in a, like, goodwill display, like in a real action. Mm-hmm. And do it. Just do it. Like, do your best to set things right. And also know that doesn't make you the world's greatest person.
Everyone go to your library and check out a book actually written by an Indigenous person about the histories. I'm going to do that.
Listen to our YouTube podcast too. Yeah. You know,
yeah. There's podcasts, there's YouTubes, there's fucking all kinds of talks stuff about all kinds of shit.
Right. Like I said, there's some that are great. Like I always tell people, like, Illuminative, because they're really cool. They cover a lot of stuff. Killer. Yeah, they're good people, and you know, it takes effort, but god damn it, isn't this worth putting some effort to? Letting people who are the original caretakers.
Keepers of the fucking forest.
Yes.
At the very least.
Yes. I'm like, that's our way of, like, that is our way of life. And when I say way of life, I'm not saying, like, oh, we're like, this is what we do. We're like, this is what
you're killing our home.
We're from. This is like, just, it's breathing to us. It's that, that's what it is. It's great to care and it's great to love. But if you are not loving in a way that matters, it's not like it's anything at all. Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
No, yeah.
Thoughts and prayers. I tell you the thing where I was like, thoughts, the T-H-O-T.
Yeah, totally. That was pretty good. I like that a lot.
I like that better.
Yeah.
And Zach, where can people find you if they want to internet stalk your ass?
The internet.
Just see pictures of you fishing and smiling.
Yeah.
Being adorbs. And then also, how can they find out more information about the foundation?
Yeah. Check out ptmfoundation.org. We got .org. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're legitimate.
No, bona fide. And yeah, Portugal the Man on, you know, all socials and googly things. I totally agree with April. Like, find out about the place that you're from, and not only find out Native artists and writers and stuff and support and about the histories, but also, like, current ones too.
Right.
Yeah, read some books, man. Tommy Orange, he's my dude. I like that guy a lot. And yeah, totally. And just like, yeah, get and it's just really fun to learn about the history of the place, the real history. And it's harder, but it is absolutely worth it. Yeah. Learn about it and care and be a good neighbor. It ain't that hard. And if you choose your own level of involvement, you can get hardcore as fuck, or just a little bit. If a lot of people do a little bit, big shit can happen.
Right.
So, I'm all about that, man. Right. Just a little bit. Baby steps.
You can also find Zach on FarmersOnly.com.
FarmersOnly.com.
He's got a picture with a fish.
It's a fish or no fish. Zach has a fish.
I got a fish.
Well, April and Zach, we want to thank you guys so much for being on this podcast. And as we are going into fall holiday season, we hope that all of you are safe and with family. And again, just grateful for being able to sit down with the people in your life that you love, that are alive and well. Yeah. And really just be able to focus on that love of your family while always in the back of your mind remembering real fucking shit.
Yeah. Word. Gather and feast, love and support one another. That, in a nutshell, is what Hallmark fucking holiday really represents now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The history is fucking totally made up.
Yeah.
White people talk to white people.
Oh my god. Talk to grandma, you guys.
Yeah, Jesus listen to Christ. This and then go talk to your white family.
Yes, please.
And if they're uncomfortable.
If they're uncomfortable, you're doing it right.
Right. All right. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
So hey, Bon, if somebody wanted to hang out with us, talk to us, where can they find us?
Well, we're at your house right now in your basement.
Right, but like on the online.
So. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we're on Instagram and Twitter under the same name, mm-hmm. which is No, You Are That.
Oh, right. Don't forget the no.
Yeah. Okay. We're also on the Facebook.
We are. And it's just straight up You Are That on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. We have a page and a group, so you can super participate or just follow along.
Yeah. What if somebody wanted to give us monies?
Well, my Venmo name is.
Oh, no.
Oh. Well, we're on Patreon. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/YouAreThat. And yes. they can give us as little as $1 a month. And
that's
it helps
a lot.
Support the podcast.
Yeah, it does. It funds all of our stuffs. They could also give us high fives on review, rating, and subscribing. Mm-hmm. And maybe
and
some
that's five
stars. Yeah, that's no monies.
Yes. Five stars is freaking fantastic. And we love those. We also have merch. Do you know where they can find
it? Oh, yeah, yeah. You could get things to put on your hot bods at youarethatmerch.com.
And there's also like mugs and shit.
And hats.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
Heads, countertops. We have you covered.
Totes. We have totes.
We do have totes. That was organic and beautiful.
Oh my God. That's the best.
We thank you so much for listening, sharing, rating, reviewing, all of the fun things, and participating. We hope you guys are enjoying this as much as we are.
Yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.